The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! We'll throw it out!
I want this music out of my head!
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Jarvis!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Tomorrow's the big day, and later on in the show, Andy and I will both tell you why we think pumpkin is overrated. But we've got a lot to talk about.
Because you're crazy, both of you.
We still have to wrap up.
You and Bill Belichick finally have something in common.
Got to leave room for the pumpkin pie.
Yeah,
epic win. We got to leave room for the epic win.
It's like the Indians and the Pilgrims sitting down, Belichick and Scalavino.
Houston, coming
up. How that ended. Somebody got
Sunday,
shot.
And we're going to do picks later on today because there's no show tomorrow, but there is football. Lots of it. So
Trey Bien.
So big show today. Big show. We'll be here until 2 o'clock.
Paul's even got his big show clothes on.
He does. Paul has a big media
day. Captain Steubens or whatever they used to call you with the gold buttons?
Yeah. Winston Howell.
Or Thurston.
Thurston.
Oh, wasn't that's right. Who's
Winston? Winston Churchill.
Oh.
Or Justice.
Well, all right.
Or Salem.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Really, the possibilities are endless.
0398.
You just picked the wrong
hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. Anything, I know Bill Belichick had his press conference today, and once again, very talkative.
It was a Friday-like press conference on
yeah.
a Wednesday.
I think Mike Reese pulled a...
once again.
I think Mike Reese pulled a fast one on him and lubed him up with...
Right.
You know, dark meat or white was the first question of the press conference, and I think that was intentional. We do it sometimes on our interviews to try to break the ice, get somebody in a little bit looser mood.
Yeah, it never works for us, though.
And it didn't really work for him. He was talkative about... The need of punters to have good hands. He always talks about stuff like that has no relation to the game or anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you actually that's a really interesting point, Andy.
I know, Bill. And if you actually listen to his quotes, he said one of the most misleading things he's ever said. This was up there with the Cleveland Browns can score from anywhere on the field when he said the 2-9 Texans who have a 9-game winning streak are a couple plays away from having a lot of wins. That's not possible, Bill.
Well, it isn't?
No.
I know what he meant.
Because they're 2-9, so if a couple of plays went their way,
then they
could be 4-7.
Each game.
Ding dong do. If he means each game, then he's talking about every team in the NFL, not names, I don't know, Jacksonville.
But early on, they were losing some close games.
They've lost a lot of close games.
Yeah.
But they would have had to have made a lot of plays to win.
The only flaw in this argument is the fact that they're 30th in the NFL in point differential. That's a flaw in that argument.
I think what he meant within 3-0. Games, they were a couple plays away.
Every team is then. Then every team is a couple wins away.
Is that not true?
It's the damn league you play in. It's called parity, mediocrity, or crap.
Well, I think the
Jacksonville is really the only team that lost consistently without having a chance to win at the end.
I think the bigger thing to point out against what Bill just said is if they're much like the team you saw last year.
You blew them out twice.
You blew them out twice, so. You know, somehow either you're matching up well with them or they just didn't have good games.
So it's a trap game.
It could be.
I actually think it is.
I do too.
I think it's like Cleveland in 2010.
I think it's a trap game. You're coming off two tough playoff-type primetime games that went down to the wire.
Lived up to the hype.
You won the second one. Also have, by the way, a holiday in the middle of the week, which kind of can be distracting or take you away from sort of your normal process. And they're a physically talented team. They still, you know, Andre Johnson is still, whatever he is, second or third in the NFL in receptions. J.J. Watt is having, in my opinion, a defensive player of the year type year. I mean, they still have guys that can make plays.
Yeah, I would be more worried if this was Cleveland, if they were going to Cleveland this week, for all the reasons Andy just said. I look at teams that are out of it and have really bad records. You either have, you know, sort of the young, up-and-coming team that is developing under a new coach, and I put Cleveland in that category. And to me, this isn't like that. This is a team that had Super Bowl aspirations coming into the season that has completely lost it, and now I'm not sure what they have to play for.
You have number one pick.
The slightest bit of adversity that hits them early in the game, they will just tuck tail and run. I'll guarantee it. Whereas Cleveland, I think, will come out and play really hard in 2 weeks. Now, fortunately for the Patriots, that game's at home, so
Paul
I'm not
Perillo
as worried about it.
A two-game losing streak.
No, that would be Fred's side of the street. I would be more worried about this game if it were Cleveland than Houston. I agree with your point about the talent, but you know, talent hasn't helped them.
I just think they're 2-9. You know, J.J. Watt can have a strip sack.
It could be a trap game, will it be?
Probably not.
That's why they're trap games.
Will they lose?
Probably not.
Well, will it even be a dogfight?
Now, I don't think it will be.
I don't either, but
I fear it.
That's why it's a trap game, because it shouldn't be a dogfight.
Yeah.
And then there's that 10% chance that whatever aligns and it becomes a dogfight. You should win the game. They've lost 9 in a row. They're not a good football team. They turn the ball over a lot. I just said they're 30th
minus
11 differential.
By the way,
it's homecoming for the Texans.
And it's homecoming.
What does that mean?
I don't know. They just dubbed every one of their games.
You always win on homecoming week.
In the offseason, they themed.
You're supposed to schedule a
game. Yes, you're supposed to get a pansy.
They assigned a theme to every home game. And the theme that they gave to the Patriots one was homecoming.
So we're coming home, I guess. I don't know. That's where we won our Super Bowl, one of them. I mean, I don't know.
The only thing missing there was...
What does homecoming mean to an NFL team? So is it
going
to have
a joke. It's a
there?
Joke from last year when they had the Letterman jackets.
I know, but they're making fun of themselves then.
Exactly.
Right.
Why would they do that?
Because it's not life and death, Fred. Right. It's just a game.
And
it wasn't supposed to
be a 2-9 homecoming. It was supposed to be like a
9-2 against 9-2.
Oh, so they named this a long time ago.
Oh, the season started. Every game had a
when the schedule
a theme,
came out
a mock or whatever.
Back in April, as it always does in the third week or so.
But they
were back when this was a good game before it could move to 1 o'clock.
They were sort of making fun of themselves.
Thankfully.
I mean, they remember the varsity jacket thing from last year. Because it's
why
funny.
Would you not do
bad
that?
Bad marketing.
I disagree. I think it was funny.
Let's remind everyone how we disappointed you last year twice.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
That's what they're doing. That's the end result of what they're doing.
Well, the end result is they suck right now, so none of it matters.
I know, but even had they not sucked, that would have been a bad idea.
I know we believe in no marketing and no entertainment and nothing outside of the norm, but I think other places try to have fun with it and try to do things and be creative and have fun. We don't.
Someone says that I sound like I'm in a bathroom made out of tin. Also, the iTunes podcast isn't working. I'm listening through Patriots.com.
It must be their headphones.
We're off to a great start.
So if Chris is listening and...
Kevin just left.
Kevin's left, so...
He went to get apple pie.
Oh, hopefully.
Although there was no ice cream. That's the only thing that could... Shalice Manza-Young, who is indeed feeding two people, so I did not question her when she had two slices of pie on her plate to put in the microwave, was looking for a little ice cream.
She's eating for two.
That's what he just said. Oh. It literally, in the sentence that he just
said. Same thing that happened yesterday. It's like the Baltimore game, Freddie. You know, this reminds me of the Ravens.
Somewhat
game.
Similar to yesterday. That's how you missed.
I'm going to drop an F-bomb.
He literally said it was. If the game started just like the Baltimore playoff game, and right when he was done, Fred said, "It reminded me of the Ravens game."
Somebody emailed in something about the best opening to a show ever. Was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
What happened? What was the opening?
Kevin did a opening that blended music with the
entire game.
He basically played the audio of the whole game.
Show started around 12:20.
Reliving the game. So there was that first half, and then he had an interlude with some music to separate the first half from the second half.
Yep. And I got to learn that Zoe's color commentary is just, he got it! I heard nothing.
He'll tell you, Brady!
That's all he does is yell like a moron in the background.
And then he tweets out that Manning looks like a penis.
Right. Is this the man?
Often.
He will crash and burn at some point.
That's nothing Fred doesn't say on the air all the time.
No, but I'm not the color guy for the radio.
He's not the man who is.
For example, the other day.
I'm the one that invented that analogy.
But
I invented that.
You know the Gronk thing where Gronk wanted the time machine and Zoe on his radio show joked that the real answer is to fly. Everybody wants to fly. And he said, I flew once. It was at the Paradise. Didn't that end in like a lawsuit and a major injury?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
And he's joking about this. Yeah, it was a short flight or something.
Like,
oh man, the man is not long for this business.
He'll eventually.
There's Damian Woody looking bigger once again than the last time I saw him.
Than when he played.
Oh well, that's not even close.
Well, he doesn't go to fat camp anymore.
Yeah, but usually a lot of the guys that retire, they slim down. They don't have, you know, they're off.
He literally used to go to fat
program,
camp. You know.
Hell yeah,
his program was fat camp in the off season. Oh. He would go to like fat camp. Like,
really?
Literally, like in the Carolinas or something, a fat camp.
Really?
Oh, yeah. To
All
try
right.
to not be fat.
Well, Bill kind of, I guess, put the cap on the big game, you know, from Sunday night today in his press conference, because people were still asking questions about that, about Ryan Allen's punting. And I thought, you know, it was interesting. I think that, forget about, if you're covering the team and you need info, it was useless. But if you're just a fan of football and you're looking for...
Well, it wasn't useless for notebooks. It was useless for relevance to
like,
the game.
If you're looking for insight about football from one of the guys who...
It's going to help fill some first down pages.
He's a genius. I think it was really interesting. You know, the whole idea about, you know, a punter needs to have great hands. And it makes sense, you know, but you don't always think about that. And so I thought it was really interesting.
It was great.
You know,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I also enjoyed the little where you said, you know, the thought process of when you're punting with the wind, it means the long snapper snapping into the wind when you.
Well, he made a good analogy about, like, you know, teeing off on a, you know, a golfer, the ball's on a tee, you just tee off and everyone loves to drive. I think the analogy should be for a punter is you need to use all the clubs in your bag. You're not just using a driver. Sometimes you need to pitch it.
You need
Sometimes
a wedge.
You need,
right.
you know, to low hit it, you know, so. You need to use several clubs besides your driver as a punter.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah. And he did have a smirky, you know, although they all like to just boom it every time or something with a big smile on his face.
Right.
It was almost like that Ty Law smile, like, I want to cover that guy or I want to play offense. The punters just want to boom it and, you know, see if I can kick it 70 yards.
Right. So that was interesting. And then, you know, obviously we want to move on today to Houston.
Defensive player of the month, Chandler Jones. You should get that out there.
Yes.
And offensive player of the week.
And
Tom Brady.
That one I understand.
But
I'll
Jones
be honest,
one,
I don't really understand how 16 tackles and 3 sacks. Good month. Good, solid, consistent month. Kind of what he's been doing all year. But apparently nobody in the AFC had a phenomenal month defensively.
I guess not.
Because that's just a ho-hum month. 3 games, 16 tackles, 3 sacks. That's fine.
Yeah.
Just not usually award-winning.
Usually isn't.
Usually
it's like some guy that has...
12 sack pace.
Yeah,
right?
That's fine.
Yeah.
Just only 3 games.
Little note from practice.
No, I'm just saying, in a month. I'm
right,
just,
but he only played 3 games, so it's a 16-sack pace he was in the month.
Notes from practice. We didn't see...
And why don't the games Thursday count for the AFC Player of the Month? They're in November.
Because they go by weeks.
Every 4 weeks?
So it's the AFC Player of 4 weeks, not the month. Because I thought, you know, Thursday was still... November.
No, you're correct in that that
so
thought, but they consider the week as being in part of December.
Okay. So if a guy has like 20 sacks
week
on Thursday night,
up?
He should have won AFC Player of the Month, and he won't. He'll win it for December?
Possibly.
Cool. The guy who has 20 sacks on
Can
Thursday.
Can we get to something relevant, like who was at practice?
And I don't find that relevant.
The second, well, you should. The second half against Denver, we didn't really see Aaron Dobson, and Kenrell Tompkins sort of came on, and everyone was wondering, oh, what happened to Dobson? What happened to Dobson? Oh. Nearest I could figure when I was watching the tape the other day was on the first Edelman touchdown in the beginning of the third quarter. That was the last time I saw him on the field.
Dobson.
And he and Amendola sort of ran a pick going to the inside. Edelman ran to that corner. And when Dobson came over afterwards to celebrate with Edelman, joined a little group, and then as he was walking back, I noticed he had like a little hitch, it looked like in his right leg. And then he goes off camera from the broadcast cameras, can't really see. And after that, he never appeared on the field again. So I don't know if he did something right then and there or on the route that he ran, but he wasn't at practice today.
Oh, boy.
So that'll be interesting to see what he's listed as today, later today when the injury report comes out. Dobson and the other two we already knew about, Cannon, who hurt his right ankle in the game, and Hooman, who was... out all week with the knee.
So Gregory was there.
Yeah, Gregory Dennard, who actually left after one of the touchdowns.
About Hightower was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very
the Dennard thing is fascinating to me. That I mean, he re-injured himself in the game, didn't play much of the second half, I think it was, and is back again. And this is after reportedly having this surgery.
Well, you know, let's be careful about what he did. I mean, maybe it wasn't necessarily a re-injury, but it was just enough.
Well, it was an aggravation of something.
Yeah, it was just enough where, this doesn't feel right.
He was
right.
Pretty upset.
And they took him out.
Yeah, he certainly did something.
He was upset on the side.
He was upset?
Yeah, he threw his helmet.
But he was back out there. Tlaib, Gregory, all those guys. Yeah.
Okay.
And there were two, we should say there were two availabilities on the active roster and two on the practice squad. With moves that have been made the last couple of days, there was a number 86 in white offense and a number 69 in white who were signed. Don't know who they are, whether or not they're practice squad or active roster or one or the other.
Was one of them Nick McDonald? Do you see him? Because there were reports that he worked out yesterday.
He didn't have his helmet off.
Actually, it might not have been Nick. I didn't read the whole report.
And the 86 must have been DJ Williams.
Yeah,
right?
I'm assuming it's DJ Williams.
Yeah, we're
according to Wikipedia, he plays for the Patriots.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people had made that call.
Pie.
He did get pie.
He
wow.
Stole a good, pie. Kevin.
Wow.
Oh,
what an a-hole.
That looks good. That looks good.
Now, you're going to eat it,
Kevin just
right?
brought in some apple pie. That's nice.
Warm apple pie.
So a tight end out of Arkansas, DJ Williams.
Reportedly, he's the one that was signed.
According to pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
And Justin Green and Marcus Forston were released, probably going back to the practice squad, I would imagine.
Right, but they weren't on
the field
two spots,
today. But they weren't out there today.
Not today. But I was wondering if whether or not that's the
procedural
time issue.
Like 4 o'clock today?
They have to wait?
Might be.
I mean, I would think Green specifically. I mean, I don't know about Forston, but my guess is both of them would go back
I
to
would
the practice
think so,
squad.
Because A.J. Francis was signed to Miami, so that's how they got the second practice squad opening.
Okay.
So some moves to be made between now and when we leave on Saturday, though.
Yep. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens, as it always is when you're on the road. You get those early outs.
I was going to say, I was wondering, obviously it's, because of Hooman that they're going after the DJ Williams kid, but I wonder if there'll be another, like Nnamdi Asamoah, that's a name that's still out there. And they release Justin Green,
right,
presumably to go back on the practice squad, but you could still use some depth there.
I'll tell you, you could. I mean, on any given play, any of these defensive backs can be out.
Right.
You know?
So I'm wondering whether or not they're, they might be thinking about a guy like him or that position at least.
Yep. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. We taped the show yesterday, the PFW show, and that's going to be on tonight.
Late.
On Comcast. Oh, really?
Yeah, like Celtics game.
11 or something.
Oh, boy. Why even bother?
Well, we do actually have a replay tomorrow in our normal slot, 7:30 on Thanksgiving evening, if you're around.
So you'll still be on.
You wake up from that tryptophan-induced nap, and it's like 7:30, click on CSNNE.
So if you haven't seen it tonight, it's new to you tomorrow night.
Or Friday, or Saturday, or even Sunday, all the times they show it, yes.
Even if you have seen it, watch it again.
Sure. Right. Kevin liked that.
You might catch something the second time around. Andy's doing his from the heart and saying, Paul is the walrus.
Rachel
now,
says,
Ray?
She agrees that the opening yesterday was awesome, and she wishes the sound bites were downloadable because they'd be great ringtones. So I don't think we have the rights to Bob Soucy. That's CBS.
The rights to Bob Soucy. We're just going to take Bob Soucy.
was she talking about the radio calls?
Hey, Bob,
no,
you've lost your rights. We own you now.
She'd like to have it as a download.
Oh.
Not even Bob Soucy has the rights to Bob Soucy?
Hey, does my mic sound all right? Because Lyndon from California says it sounds like I'm in a bathroom made out of tin.
Yeah, sounds all right to me.
Sounds all right to me.
Okay.
Hey, Lyndon, maybe you have bad speakers.
Possibly.
You all sound all right to
me. Like, remember that happened with my headphones? I thought it was something wrong with the press conference, and it was my... Bill was underwater, but it was my dying Bose headphones.
Yeah, Bose. What?
No Bose.
All right.
All right. That's an old PPGS-ism.
I like that.
We used to have our Bose something of the week that we gave away every week. And Andy would say, yeah, Bose.
Oh, you know.
We don't have one of those this year.
Remember we used to do Urban Dictionary Word of the Day?
Sure.
You know that Tosh 2.0? They do one. They do an Urban Dictionary.
Isn't it just Tosh
.0?
Or is this the new series, 2.0? They've redone the series.
I did not even catch that.
He does an Urban Dictionary word of the...
Everybody steals from us, Fred. We're always ahead of the curve. We are the best.
Yeah, I guess so.
All we're right. like, you know, isn't there that belief that Shakespeare didn't write his stuff, that he stole
yeah,
it? We're that guy.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get famous off everything we do, make a lot of money, and go down in history, and we'll be the forgotten bums.
That's probably accurate. No media access tomorrow, although the Patriots will be doing kind of a walkthrough in the morning, probably.
Yep. Pre-turkey workouts for them.
Yep. And then we'll be back, the Patriots will be back with media access on Friday. Obviously, there's no show for us tomorrow.
Or Friday.
Spend the time with your relatives, families, friends. Don't, you know, wish you were listening to PFW in Progress.
They wishbone after the turkey. I wish there was a show.
Fred, you remember last Thanksgiving when you and I were sitting in the ballroom of that crummy hotel in the Meadowlands with that TV that kept going out?
I do.
That was awful. Hopefully our Thanksgiving.
I was waiting for that. That was awesome. I mean, that was awful.
It is what it was.
Hopefully this year's better.
It is what it was. I don't know what that means.
You know, they set up a TV for us so everyone could go in and watch the games. I didn't mind it.
You didn't have a TV.
Why were you?
We got kicked out of our room so early.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that happened to us one year.
Yeah. I usually go down the lobby and wait around anyway.
Yeah, he's always sitting around like reading a book in his suit or something. Yeah. Always.
So it didn't matter to me much.
It was weird.
Wasn't that bad? Didn't they give us like ziti and chicken instead of like turkey too?
Well, you can't be happy.
Oh my God.
Fred doesn't want turkey.
What's wrong with you?
And you give him ziti and this guy's bitching like.
Well, I just remember everyone.
It is a little different on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh Christ.
Yeah. Even here the day before you get like a turkey wrap with stuffing.
Yeah. Fred hates it. Fred just ranted about it.
Paul doesn't like it either, does he?
Paul doesn't like anything.
Well, I had a problem.
They had all that stuff at the stadium though.
So that is true.
Not like you missed out on it.
No, the stadium food.
I was enjoying half of mine, and then I had an issue with it, so I no longer found a hair. There was a hair in mine. I'm not going to. Sorry.
Well, Andy carried that plate down, so it was probably one of his hairs.
No, it was a long hair.
It was
a lady hair.
It wasn't curly.
It was a whoever prepared it hair.
Gotcha.
Oh, for God's sakes, Fred.
The short and curlies. Well, they should have had a hair net on, shouldn't they?
They're supposed to.
One must have slipped through the cracks.
It could have been somebody just in the line, you know, somebody
in the middle of the sandwich.
Yeah, it was literally in the middle.
I think the only option would be Jackie.
I don't believe there's any long-haired. It was a dark hair. Right?
It wasn't someone walking through.
There was a long-haired blonde
in the middle of the
wrap.
Jackie was walking out of the media dining room as I was walking in to get our pie.
This could have been her joke there.
Yeah, I was waiting for Andy. I was trying to tee you up, Andy.
Gonna leave it alone.
There.
All right, let's go to the Ace Chicken Hotline. Matthew's in California.
Hey, Matthew, you're
the first caller here on PFW in Progress.
Happy holidays.
Some high school still.
What?
Well, it's my first time calling in because of Thanksgiving break. I didn't get to really talk to you guys. I'm in school most of the time. But I get to call in. So I was just wondering, hey, do we got any injury update on Hightower or Marcus Cannon?
Well, we just, Eric, I don't know if you missed it. Eric did the practice report. We don't know the extent of their injuries, but Cannon was not at practice. And,
oh, he wasn't?
Oh. No, and Hightower was.
What did you guys think of VTech stepping in?
I think he did okay. I've always liked VTech.
Yeah, I did too.
I wouldn't have been shocked when Vollmer went down, VTech was.
I was actually disappointed that he didn't.
I wouldn't have been either. Yeah. I don't think there's much difference there.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you think about the receivers? Like between Tompkins and Dobson, who would you rather go on straight forward if you can commit to one? Because I heard it's kind of been like 50-50 between both of them, but who would you commit?
I would commit to Dobson.
Dobson?
Yeah. All right, just wondering about that one.
I don't think it's a blowout, but I think Dobson has more upside.
Because I'm agreeing on Dobson, but all these callers from like yesterday, I was wondering, they're always putting Dobson down, like they want Boyce to come. Give him more time. He has more upside. I don't know why people are so down on Dobson right now.
I think people are intrigued by Boyce because we haven't seen him. And you're wondering if there's some untapped potential there. And I'm probably, I fall into that category because, Andy, as you know, I like Boyce.
You do like Boyce.
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 Well, you have been associated with NAMPLA.
That's the Northeastern Athletics. Men's Basketball Lovers Association.
That's good. All right. Thanks, Matthew. VIP Strippers has a fun fact.
It's nice the Thanksgiving break, though. You get some new voices to hear from.
Was it high school or college?
Well, it could have been college.
Uh, VIP Stripper says, a fun fact, the nap after Thanksgiving meal is not tryptophan.
I know, I read that.
It's
I don't
carb buy it. Induced. Turkey has the same amount of tryptophan as chicken. You don't pass out when you eat chicken.
I do if I drink
it's
with
just
it.
A fun
do you guys,
fact.
In all seriousness, I know all about the, you know, the tryptophan and all that. So, do you guys really take a nap after Thanksgiving?
Well, I end up falling asleep in the chair.
But pretty much any time I overeat and lay in the chair.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was kind of my point.
If you overeat and then lay in the chair watching football, there's a good chance you're going to fall asleep, no matter what day it is.
Right.
See, you know what I would need to take the nap there? If you throw in all the stuff you just said.
Lights.
You give me like 3 or 4, and I'm, you know, now I've overeat, and I'm watching football, I'm just saying.
I like
you know, a couple of millilights put me over the top.
I like the Seinfeld episode when they play with the woman's toys.
Excuse me?
You remember that one where she had that collection of nostalgic toys, and Jerry would go in and
I don't remember this one.
And have her eat turkey with heavy, he's like, more heavy gravy?
You know, because he wanted her to sleep so they could keep playing.
You didn't remember that one?
No, I don't remember
that
one.
That was a great one.
Now, Paul knows how I feel. Every show.
Yeah, but I don't say that wasn't funny.
He didn't say it wasn't funny. He
didn't laugh.
He hasn't seen it.
I don't know the episode that he's referring to, so I can't really picture it. You think that Seinfeld wasn't funny.
Kramer was.
The show.
Kramer was funny.
Kramer was the least funny part of the show.
You're the least smart person on this show.
Chris with a TIN says, can't listen live.
That really know they had cheese lines in Russia.
That makes me a sub moron, by the way.
Newman.
Happy Thanksgiving to Fred, Paul, Andy, Eric, and Kevin in the booth. You're the best. Can't wait for Turkey Day. I'm going to stuff Mama Hart. Oh.
Oh. That's Christian. way over the line. But very funny.
Did I tell you guys that one day my mother called me and goes, I feel famous today. I just want to thank Fred for mentioning me on the show yesterday.
And you said, oh,
and you went, what?
What did he say? And she meant the TV show, right. And it was just, and I don't know.
And he said Mama Hart.
Something. Yeah, it was very, but I was thinking, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, that could not have
the
ended
cat
well.
Is, as Kramer would say, out of the bag.
That's
funny.
Right
that he heard. That he heard
right there.
Andy's borrowing my neoprene waders.
I saw that.
He's going to wear them tomorrow.
I'm borrowing your neoprene waders that apparently fit you about 50 pounds ago. Last time you were a medium was in Emerson days in your singlet.
Those look pretty big to me.
They're long. They're not thick. Fred's more about girth.
You need to take a picture.
Of what?
Of yourself.
In the costume,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a costume. Well, it is kind of a costume.
So I want to have a picture of those.
I'll probably take a picture with me and Jackson dressed up in our camo, ready to kill some ducks.
Andy's going duck hunting for Thanksgiving morning.
Yes.
Are you going to eat the ducks?
No.
You're just killing them for sport.
No, they'll eat them. They all eat everything.
Who's they?
All the people I'm going with. It's a big crew. They do this.
They actually eat the ducks?
They eat
you just
everything.
Want to be part of the clique?
No, Jackson does.
Andy.
Jackson Andy. Wants to go hunting.
Jackson's six.
Will you? So what does that mean? He knows that my neighbors hunt. They talk about
it
all the time.
There's a lot of things that kids want to do that you can say as the adult, we're not doing that.
Yeah, but this isn't a big
deal. I talked my kid out of playing hockey.
Am I wrong? What happened here?
What happened?
Three people killed in a collapse in Brazil. Did anybody know about that?
World,
a stadium?
World Cup construction? The stadium construction?
Yeah, did that happen? Did you know about that?
No, I didn't.
Bill Maher says it's like a car accident. Happens every day.
Only three people.
Just saw an item on the news the other day that they're way behind in construction, though, for the deadline. So they might maybe
looks
there's
like
some,
they might be a little bit more behind now.
Wow.
I just saw it real quick, and then it came off the screen on ESPN.
Two people
so.
Have already died in San Francisco building that stadium, haven't they?
The Niners Stadium? Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that common? That there are fatalities on
the company hadn't had an accident, you know, those signs in like 1,100 days or something.
What happened?
That's doing it.
Did they die at the same, like the same accident?
No.
Different accidents?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's even more rare.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you happen to see this, the kid Lynch from Northern Illinois ran for 321 yards last night, quarterback. You know, he broke his own record for single game rushing.
Now he's got an arrow chasing him on the field now. It's hard to beat that.
He did it. Though.
You ain't
he
got nothing
it.
On Andre Williams, though, Paul.
Oh, jeez.
What were we talking about before this?
All right, we're stopping down
here. No one can rack up the yards against New Mexico State like Andre Williams.
My fear, Paul, is that his son is going to go and see a duck get killed and is going to freak out.
He could ball his eyes out. He could
cry because he's going to feel bad.
He also doesn't like loud noises.
And he's going to want to go home.
What happens if
he throws a tantrum?
You've already scarred him for life when you pretended to drown at your pool party.
What?
He was an a-hole. This was when Jackson was like three, maybe. Like it was a few years ago.
You pretended
and you know the
to
slope?
Drown?
He walked down and was like, no!
and slowly went under the water.
Jackson did get a little upset.
Who wouldn't? He's a compassionate human being, and you got an a-hole drowning in front of you.
But the thing is, will you shoot a duck?
I don't know.
Because I couldn't see you shooting a duck.
I don't know. Depends how
it
goes.
You don't strike me as the kind of guy who would go just.
You told me
something.
That story about how you killed the
bird,
whatever it was.
Cried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I don't.
I got a BB gun when I was like 9 or 10 and went out and shot a bird and cried as it went.
Yeah, I couldn't picture you just going out and just like nothing. Just
I don't know.
You
know, you get caught up in the moment, peer pressure.
Yes. Everybody, clearly what you're doing.
Bang! 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 Bang!
Yeah.
Oh no.
I don't know.
I just think you're going for the.
Just make sure you're aiming for the duck and not just spraying the woods with bullets, you know.
Well, I think we shoot over the water, don't we?
It depends on where you go.
Oh, like on the beach.
Are you a hunter?
Well, I've been out hunting, but I've never shot. Like, that's why I quit. Andy, I've been in the situation where I could have shot and killed the duck or tried to kill a duck. But
so you just went to watch?
I went to just watch, yeah.
I think I'd wet myself if I even saw a gun.
But the thing with me, Eric, is, and why I was questioning Andy, is that when the time came, do you want to turn at this, which I was asked 2 or 3 times during the day, I was like, not really. I don't eat duck. I wouldn't eat. I know it would get eaten.
Yeah.
But I just didn't really have the heart to just go blow a nice-looking mallard out of the freaking sky.
I couldn't
mallard.
Do it.
Ryan.
Mallard. Yeah. Wesley Mallard.
But it's interesting, Andy. Like, you think, like, I had gone out that day thinking, oh, I'm going to do it. No problem. Like, whatever. And I went out, and I just saw, after I saw, like, you know, a half dozen of them get killed.
I could probably kill one.
I was just sort of like,
I'm not a pussy like you.
If you got to eat them, that's fine. If you just kill
them. Well, I don't know.
They're going to eat them, not me. They eat everything they hunt.
You think you could shoot a deer? You think you'd blow a deer?
I don't think I could.
No?
That seems more like a big deal.
Yeah.
Little deer.
Like a duck is just, you know, duck hunt. Used to play duck hunt on Nintendo all the time.
Think
bang,
about
bang.
Those deers. It's like they always show them like after
they
shot
is that
them
a word?
In deer, and they're on the
deers.
Ground and they're like looking like with that eye, like you know.
I think that would happen. You would have if
any,
I shot
right,
you.
Exactly any right. living thing.
But they never close their eyes. They're always like, you know, staring off.
Like a deer in heaven.
Just not for me.
We have too many deer, though. We have to get rid of some of them.
I've noticed more and more on our rides home at like 3 a.m. Along the highway. There was one stretch the other day. There must have been 20 just standing there. Just,
really?
And all I thought of was Matt Smith.
Matt Smith.
Son of a bitch. 20 deer are going to run in front of me.
Freaks him
about
out.
That.
He says that. And he says that to me all the time. Because we...
It's a bit of a,
but we go the same way on 128. Right? And when he goes around the loop to get off of 95 onto 128... He says he sees them all the time, and I mean, we've had the last 2 weeks. We've been in the heart of the middle of the night, and I've never seen one.
Oh, really?
Never seen.
Oh, yeah,
one.
I see them all the time now.
I hit one.
I had one.
Why are you laughing about
on purpose,
that?
Fred?
No.
One time coming
buck,
when we were
buck.
Still
in your Jeep.
Yeah.
When we were still working
good
thing
you had the Spartan Jeep, your new car would fall apart on impact with that thing.
The Spartan Jeep,
thing.
Yeah.
That would have been in your lap in your new car.
But one ran across Route 1. One morning I was going, when we were still working at Walpole Park, a deer just ran right across, jumped over the median and ran. I mean, clearly he was probably not right because I don't think they usually do that, you know.
He was a demented deer.
Well, he probably had some sort of issue.
Kind of like Peyton Manning.
But that's the only time. Of all the time I've been working here that I've seen one. There's a lot. I mean, obviously,
we have them in our backyard.
Literally. Yeah,
I have a lot of deer.
My brother has a ton in his backyard. I have turkeys. All over my yard.
Turkeys too.
Turkeys are becoming more and more just everywhere. You're like driving down like office parks and businesses, and you're like, "Why are there turkeys?"
Well, you know what they do is they see a lot of times they see their reflections in the windows, and it sort of freaks them out a little bit. They're all over Comcast too. Have you ever seen them at night at Comcast?
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of them there. Yeah.
James Pettigrew writes in, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world. Quick one: do you think we play better when we're behind? For some reason, with this team, I always feel more comfortable when we're 2 points behind than if we have a 2-point lead. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would feel better being behind by 2 points in a normal game than ahead by 2 points. I would feel better about that. They have dug themselves some holes. 17-3 against Miami at the half. Down early 10-0 against Carolina. Obviously, 24-0 this week. Probably a trend that they want to reverse. Who was the is it Brian Waters, Andy, that used to talk about that a lot? These slow starts, it's going to come in, it's going to catch up to us in the playoffs. We can't do this, and sure enough, in the Super Bowl, it caught up to them. I mean, it's a bad trend, but I agree with James. I think that the way they've demonstrated the ability to come back, I don't think it's a big. You don't want to go down 24-0. I mean, that's a little different, but I wouldn't be overly concerned. If you fall behind early in a game, because this team has demonstrated so many times that it can come back.
I also felt pretty good against the Steelers when they were kind of rolling too.
Yeah. LT in Adelaide says,
I don't mind if they just get a lead and roll.
Just wanted to raise a point that I thought that Paul would be all over like Eric in a cashmere sweater. I was watching Denver pound the run to the tune
and he has a brown or tan or.
Yeah. As I was watching Denver pound the run to the tune of almost 300 yards, I was reminded of Paul saying that the running game doesn't win you games, and I actually agreed with him. I felt when watching the game that no matter how much the Broncos dominated the Pats in the running game, I wasn't as scared of losing it defending the run. On the Broncos' offense, I thought they looked eerily similar to the Patriots' offense in the past 2 years where they stretched the field horizontally but only about 10 yards downfield. Of course, this had more to do with the fact that Peyton Manning's arm was as strong as Eric's kicking leg, but their offense, similar to the Patriots of the last few years, is very defensible if you jam the receivers at the line of scrimmage and tackle well whilst keeping everything in front of you. Just some random thoughts. You guys are the best sports talk radio in the world.
I'll let you know when someone does it.
Because you Americans like to dub everything the world championship, but you are definitely better than Australian sports talk radio.
Yeah, my larger.
So we got that going for us.
The larger point I agree with.
We beat the kangaroo people.
Andy and I battle on this all the time. And I have to admit, there's a little bit of a difference between my theory and allowing 300 yards rushing.
Especially in overtime when, I don't know, a fingertip tackle here or there and the guy goes 80 and you gave up 200 300 yards.
You gave up 280 yards rushing and three turnovers and you still won.
No, but not because you stopped them on defense. You won the game. Why, Fred? Because you outscored them. Just like if you would pass the ball.
But you could have easily lost that game. Are you saying you could not have?
I think you win every game because you outscored
him. No, but you're saying you could not have easily lost that game because you could have.
Am I not right?
You are right.
You should celebrate. It's rare on this show.
But my point being is generally I feel like when you run the ball a lot, when you run the ball, high volume of carries as opposed to passes, generally you're going to be around 20. And it shortens the game and all that, but you don't get as many points as you might get because I think you need to throw the ball to score points. Well, the turnovers knocked the game out of whack, and it ended up making it a much higher scoring game on both sides than the offense would have sort of indicated. I agree with the larger point. I would be willing to say to Denver if they played in the playoffs, I will be willing to let you run the ball against my smaller front again if you want to. And that way, Peyton doesn't get into a rhythm. They don't get the passing game going because I think you need the passing game to ultimately win. But this particular game, they ran for so many yards and scored so many points, it's hard for me to make that argument.
Right. Alex from Philly, are we at risk of a letdown on Sunday? I know the Texans stink, but they do still have a talent and we are still very banged up. I still think we'll win Sunday, but maybe not as easily as some people might be predicting. Other than that, I'm still reveling in the glow of the Denver win. Question, is Ridley still the starting running back? As I said in my last email, I'm done with him long term. He is our best option talent-wise, or is he? You guys mentioned Vereen as the full-time back, and I think that's a good idea. My only question is health. He has shown that he can be quite fragile in his own right. Can Vereen handle the load, and how good is he as a runner? I hope he gets the chance. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your families.
Well,
back at you.
I don't really concern myself with who the starting running back is on this team because against Carolina it was Shane Vereen, was it not?
No, his point is who's the lead guy?
Yeah.
Who's going to get the bulk of the carries?
Yeah.
That's his point, not who plays them the first play of the game.
Well, I know, but people are always concerned with the whole starter thing. And to me it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. But I think Ridley is definitely the most talented back they have.
But does it matter to you if one guy's going to get 20 plus carries, does it matter to you who that is, and who should that be?
Even if you want to lower it to 15,
right.
It matters to me, and to me it needs to be Vereen. And I think he's the most talented back on the team.
I think he's starting to.
Yeah.
Get into that.
I think you're down to that option. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Now, if enough people say
if
enough people say that you can't stick with Ridley, you can bet everything you got that Bill will stick with Ridley on Sunday.
He's such an idiot.
He's right, though.
Is Bill Belichick in anyone's head more than these two morons who, it affects their everything they think about? Their daily lives, it affects how they think.
What would Bill think?
No, yeah. Wes Welker.
Just so you know.
Yeah, you're with Wes. Yeah, so the three is.
What you
as Morrow would say,
what
the
you
three
just
is.
Said, what would Bill think?
Right.
Could not possibly occupy less of my thought process during the course of any time.
I'm not sure. I think you're in denial.
There's
ain't
no
just
denial
a river in Africa.
No. Or South America, as Felger once said.
Michelle, she loves it when I call her Shalata. with both the game and play clock malfunctioning, we didn't really talk about that. Does that have any impact on being able to run the hurry up, quick snapping, etc.? Or do they practice that enough so it doesn't matter? Or is it just with both Brady and Manning experience that comes into play and maybe a younger quarterback would have struggled? I can't imagine having some dude waving when there's 10 seconds left can be all that great. I really hope we can get to see more of Collins. He's impressed me more in one game than Hightower has in a season and a half. Happy Thanksgiving. Let the turkey coma commence. We didn't really talk about the whole thing of the clocks going down and all that.
Vito Stolino wanted to chime in on
did
that.
Did we get an
explanation?
It
wasn't all that long.
What happens
then? What?
It wasn't out for that long.
No.
Yeah, it was less than a quarter.
But it was out for a couple drives for both teams.
But wouldn't it? It would affect you more on like a four-minute drive than a hurry-up drive. Because hurry-up, you're trying to hurry up.
Right. You don't
you're
really
already
care.
Trying to hurry up, you mean.
Right. Yeah. So you're not looking to – now, if you were at the game and you were really trying to wind the clock down, then it's more of an issue. But
– yeah.
I mean, it's not ideal. There's a reason they have clocks on the field because you
it's
need to
not
see
ideal, but I don't think it really had much of an impact on the game. Not
could
that
have
I, not
in
that
a
I could,
situation.
Yeah, not that I could tell.
What happened?
I mean, I assumed it was cold-related, cold and wind. I don't know.
Yeah.
I overheard somebody say four things happened at once.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
What?
Nothing.
What, Paul?
Ross and
but
Canada.
Speaking of the wind, by the way, imagine if the game had been this morning, like that kind of weather. It
oh
was like
God.
Sideways rain and
yeah,
the wind was
I mean,
worse.
I, pretty much everywhere in the United States right now is having some type of crazy weather. Here it's like, you know, sideways rain.
Yeah, like 50-mile-an-hour winds.
Thank God it's not snow.
We'd be stuck.
Where in some places it is.
Oh.
What?
Poop.
What's wrong?
Uh-oh.
I was supposed to leave my snowblower out to get tuned up today, and I never took it out of the garage.
Uh-oh.
Son.
And that's the guy that you've been trying to get to do it all summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're the a-hole.
As when you just said it's a good thing it wasn't snow, that...
Ooh, ow.
Oh.
A-hole.
Ross in Canada.
And I remember thinking I didn't want to leave it out because it was pouring out. I didn't want to leave it out in the rain, but I had no choice.
But you didn't.
You should call the guy.
Yeah, you should.
Hey, this is the a-hole at Starboard Drive or whatever.
Right.
Wow.
You know, the one that's been bothering
really?
You.
I'm sorry. This freaking guy.
Why don't you just give out his phone number, too?
Social Security. You got that, too?
I don't. I generally know your passwords.
They're changing now a little bit.
And we just had a conversation yesterday about people
only
who
I didn't say
can't help
fudge.
Themselves but say everything.
Like
on
you
the radio.
Two yesterday.
Right.
To
he
me.
He was telling other people that they do that. Now he's not part of the conversation.
Right. Yeah,
I was distracted
it.
By
he's
some side right, boob right, on the yeah. Wendy Williams show.
Yeah. Okay.
Is she married to LL Cool J?
Who?
Somebody when? Tried to tell me that her and LL Cool J are a couple.
She's a couple. Ross says, what a wild ride that was on Sunday night. Cue Andy giggling. I can't imagine how many negative comments you were receiving on the live blog. Oh, yeah. Around the half, I received a text from a friend of mine watching the game who said he was tuning out because it just wasn't worth being tired the next day, to which I replied simply, Frank Reich game. That would be the Buffalo Bills coming
Frank.
Back from...
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why I didn't understand it, because he didn't say it right.
His response, damn it, now I have to stay up and watch.
I thought it was like a German saying.
Reich. It was the third Reich game. like Andy said yesterday, this is why you don't leave early, why you watch all the way to the end. You never know when you're going to see something amazing.
Yeah.
For anyone who did check out early or didn't think to record the game, it will be re-aired on NFL Replay tonight. Getting some extra on-field sound will definitely be worth reliving it, you know, in case watching the comeback and seeing Peyton's frozen face pouting wasn't enough.
Oh, they did do a mic'd up then.
Is no, they just have more audio. I don't believe they were mic'd up.
Oh.
I think it's just more of the guys on the sideline with
that
the
that
would
have been the game to mic them up.
I think there were some guys mic'd up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not sure who, and I'm not sure what they're showing on NFL Network.
Not sure whether there will be a show Thursday or not, so happy Thanksgiving to the PFW show. There will not be a show. Families and all of Patriots Nation. Well, thanks, Ross.
Did you see the Photoshop thing making the rounds yesterday with Brady pushing the baby carriage with Welker and Manning?
That dog looks scary. That dog looks like it's ready
I didn't notice the dog.
You didn't? No, the dog was right next to him.
Apparently not very observant.
I didn't see this. What was it?
It's a picture of Brady. I'm assuming it's a real picture of a real baby carriage, or is it all photoshopped? Was it him and his kids?
Oh, I don't know how much.
Yes, he was really wheeling around Welker and Manning. He gets all mad.
That's just stupid.
Oh, really?
Where did it appear, though?
Well, on the internet.
Yeah, and
no reputable.
But he had the dog walking right next to him, and this dog. I mean, if like you were a fan and you saw them walking,
he does have a scary dog.
You would be like, I'm not going up.
I thought he had a little dog.
No, he has a scary dog.
He has a big dog.
I remember there was uproar that he got. Yeah, it's a pit bull or something.
Oh yeah, I do remember the uproar.
There was uproar
about the pit bull.
Yeah, and this thing looks like, don't come near us.
Don't stop.
You know, we're happy. Don't come near us.
Probably what it means. When the guys with the guns aren't around, you got the dog with the jaws.
Ixnay. Yeah, a little trouble in that situation. The guys with the guns around.
Oh, well, they're in jail now.
Yes.
Slumming it in a Costa Rican prison.
Toby in New York had a couple of time management points, and I'm not sure if you spoke about them. The Patriots had the ball at the end. This is good for you, Paul, so listen.
Yeah, this
like,
is Paul's area
like
of expertise.
These, questions.
Or caring.
The Pats had the ball at the end of the fourth quarter with around 30 seconds left. On the first play, Edelman made a short catch and went out of bounds, stopping the clock. I immediately started cursing at the TV, and when my wife asked why, I explained that the Broncos had two timeouts left, and now they were going to be able to get the ball back in great field position with a chance to kick a field goal. The Patriots ran the ball on the next play, but the Broncos let the clock run out. Why in the world didn't they take the timeout?
We talked about it, all of us, in the booth at the time. I think it's because they just didn't feel like Peyton could throw the ball consistently into the wind, and you would have had to gone exclusively to the air there. Now, the previous drive, Denver went 10 plays and 80 yards. I think they ran the ball just three times on that drive, so it was almost exclusively through the air. But I think it's a little bit different when the other team knows you can only throw.
Right.
And I just don't think he could throw the ball consistently enough for them to. And then you would have had to get real,
right.
You had to get to about the 25-yard line to have a legitimate chance.
Second point, the Patriots decided to kick the winning field goal with 2 minutes left on the clock on third down instead of letting the clock run another 40 seconds. I know the reason for this is the fear of a botched snap, but I think it was the wrong decision. A botched snap rarely happens, but Manning driving his team down for a winning field goal with 2 minutes left happens all the time.
Yeah, normal circumstances, I would totally agree, but I think in those conditions, a bad snap was more than unlikely. You don't really see a lot of bad snaps, but you did see some wild snaps in that game.
Yeah.
And, they were all handled, but, you never know. And I think that made a lot of sense to me to do it on third down. What I did think was interesting is, if you recall, they were going to kick it on second down, and then Denver called timeout. And then Bill thought about it, and he explained that he probably should have been doing this all along anyway, but he put the offense back out onto the field, and his thought process was to take more time off the clock. So if in the event that they didn't make the field goal, Denver would have had less time and they could tie. We were actually wondering if maybe they wanted Gostkowski to come off the field and not stand out there the whole time, which is sort of an abnormal situation for a kicker, sitting through the timeout and all that. So he wanted it to be more natural where he's on the sideline, they run a play, and he comes back onto the field. But Bill said he was thinking about the time in that situation. But I do think third down was the down to kick it. It was a chip shot, and, they made it.
It is a real photo that was then photoshopped to add the Manning.
Oh, you saw the photo?
Yeah.
Did you see the dog? See what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I don't know how I missed it the first time.
Just send me the link. I haven't seen it.
Strippers has it on. Oh, did you block him?
Yeah. Really? You block strippers?
I think that was more of a joke with him.
Yeah, no. Well, the other.
Wait, did you block him or not?
I don't remember, actually.
What about the other hundreds of people you blocked?
Hundreds, or is it thousands now?
No.
Andy, you
dozens,
more than likely need a license in hunter safety class completed to legally hunt, says Mike.
Well, I'm not actually hunting.
You're just going to watch.
He's just going because he has to hang out with his friends.
Brian says,
if I shoot anything, no one will ever know.
Brian says, I see a Dick Cheney moment coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Jamie.
Yeah, Eric's not coming with us.
Jamie in Houston is on the line.
Eric, how do I shoot this?
Hey, Jamie.
You better watch out.
What's going on? How we been, fellas?
You guys ready for the Patriots to come down and whack the Texans?
I sure hope so. I left my information with Kevin to pass on to you. I've extended the the invite sometime. But if
well, Jamie, just give it to Andy. He'll read it out over the air.
And I'll meet you guys. That'd be cool to do. Or if not, maybe we can make arrangements.
Well, Jamie, I will be at Diablo Loco.
Yeah,
Saturday night.
You guys have another party?
There's a huge party
going to
be down
there.
There.
Crazy devil, you.
So that's where I'll be Saturday night. So
I love when he thinks he's bilingual.
So I'll see you there if you go.
So, Jamie, you know that place? It's a good place Fred's going to?
It is a good place. I have not been, but...
is that the same place we went the last time?
I have coworkers, and then it gets the local radio station that's popular does a lot of venues there, and they talk about it a lot.
Nice.
It always sounds like
I know it's got this huge saxophone out front, which is kind of cool.
Well, Fred and Eric will be there. Well, Fred anyway. I don't know about Eric. He's kind of antisocial.
And they're going to do Miss Houston Patriots contest while we're down there.
What does that mean?
They're going to have like a beauty show.
Now, is that a Patriots
Patriots
club that goes there regularly, or is that just
it's sponsored by the Houston Patriots Club? They don't. That's not their main headquarters, but from what I understand, they need the space, so they're not
a bigger venue.
Yeah, they're not
mean?
Using their usual hangout.
Yeah.
They needed a bigger venue.
They needed a bigger venue.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been kind of cold and rainy down here, unseasonably so, but you can probably look for some humid, moist end zones again.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are you talking about the game or at the Crazy Devil?
Oh, there
Those,
you go.
What is it, Miss
it's always
Patriot?
On your mind, boss.
I don't even understand what you're... So it's Patriots fans are going to be competing to be the hottest woman Patriot fan?
The Houston, it's going to be a...
is it like four people?
Miss Patriots Houston.
Okay.
Something.
I can't imagine it's going to be a large crowd of qualified candidates.
You never know. They're giving out prizes and
treasures closed.
Yeah. Miss Bum Bum.
That's
I don't even want to broach the thought, but you know, we should win and win handily. However, you got a prideful and very insanely motivated J.J. Watt and some other guys down here. That defense is still legit. I think people realize that. I mean, we just can't score. The Texans can't score more than 13 points on a regular basis, but you know, that's a tough defense, and Brady and our guys are going to have to keep their heads on us.
We don't want
stay
pushovers.
Healthy. That's
we
the only thing
be
I'm concerned
up.
About.
Yep, we need to be tuned up for the playoffs. So the better, more good defenses that we play.
So you're hoping that they win a close game?
No, I'm hoping that they do well against a good defense. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I hope they can produce the points down here, and that's. The crowd doesn't quit. I mean, that crowd, you know, loss after loss after loss still brings the decibel level.
They certainly boo their team quite often.
It's an inhospitable place to play.
Yeah. All right.
We boo our team.
Well, Jamie, will I see you Saturday?
I'm going to try and make it out, Freddie.
Okay.
Because we've been talking back and forth for better part of 9 years now.
That's right.
It'll be good.
Right.
Finally,
don't be like Eldridge, where you know you talk about it and then you don't show up.
Mm. Corvette
had to park.
The Corvette,
20 miles away.
Camaro. Yeah.
And don't be like Eric. And I didn't know it started that early.
I didn't. I thought it was a nighttime thing.
Tell Eric
it
right now.
It was a nighttime thing.
Fred, tell Eric right now.
It started at 2:00.
No, tell him right now when this one is. Everything. Give him the information so he
starts
can't lie.
Starts at 7:00.
7:00.
See, this one is a nighttime.
Loco.
What time did your last one start?
2:00.
It started at 2:00, but it went all night.
It was crazy.
What time did you go?
I went like
when we got in, right?
7:30. Yeah.
So you went at night?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what I was told. I was told you left at like 4:30 when we got it to the hotel.
Uh-oh. I see the wheels turning in his head now.
What does it matter when I left?
He lied.
Because I was waiting for you to call me and say we're leaving.
I know, but it's how the party was going. I left the party at 9 o'clock. It was still going on. Antoine Harris was there.
I saw the
now,
picture.
Pudding
was
there?
Up at? Are you the same hotel you guys were?
I have no idea what hotel we're at.
No.
Okay. 8-3.
Because I work right next to the Seasons.
I know we're about 7 miles from the restaurant.
But that's anywhere in Houston.
Right. Well, you're 45 minutes. 45 minutes.
Yeah, because you've got the Big Hilton downtown, and then you've got the Seasons downtown. Again, I'm right downtown. So
trust me, we're not at the Four Seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, very good, guys. Have a happy and safe one, Andy. Keep your finger off the trigger if you can help it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think my finger will be on
all
any
right.
Bumper.
Thanks, Jamie.
All right,
what'd you say?
Nothing.
Giggling about over there.
I said, "Or out of your ass."
I have his pants on. They're going to be so tight I couldn't fart if I wanted to. People need to see. Fred was never a medium. I don't understand why you bought mediums.
You certainly haven't been since the time I've known you.
I'm telling you. Those fit
maybe a medium at the Short and Round store.
Those have gotten a little tight around the belly, but otherwise, you know, as far as the length and everything, they're perfect.
Well, the length is not what I'm worried about. No, they're for fly fishing. You know how he likes to fish and flies.
Yes.
Yeah. He looks for big penises.
Unbelievable.
We knew what you were talking about, Andy.
I didn't know what he was talking about. I was thinking to myself, how does he come up with another sexual innuendo?
Hey, Chester.
Yo, your boy Chester's eavesdropping on
it. Oh, I was going to say, who's wowing in the background there?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, man, first, I'm really sorry I missed you guys yesterday. You know, my boss is a Broncos fan, and that jerk totally scheduled a staff meeting, like, right at noon Eastern. So
it's funny, because I actually thought it was strange that we didn't hear from you yesterday, all seriousness.
Man, I was chomping. I actually called Playbook to get some sloppy seconds on a call just to get some takes out there. But, man, guys, what a win. I mean, Paul, I know we've been kind of going back and forth, but, you know, another close game under the belt. You know, I just keep thinking that this team, and I know it's always a mentally tough team out there, but on defense, I just feel like, man, we can do anything to get back into games. And that offense, man, I just feel so good about kind of where we're heading. But, you know, the one downside, the obvious consensus is this whole Ridley situation. Man, I am just totally fed up with the situation. I feel like he is such a liability in terms of the patterns here, and, you know, everybody's comparing, oh, well, you know, everybody fumbles, and, you know, the point being is this kid at a critical juncture just keeps taking the wind out of the sails and of this team growing and building and, you know, trying to peak at the right time of the season. You know, I just see this trap happening again. I know we keep talking about it, but it's up to me. I only see him out there when we have a comfortable lead going on. Maybe this week we see something like that. But, you know, as far as it goes with Houston this weekend, I'm keeping an eye on Ben Tate. I mean, is this run defense really a concern? Because, you know, whether it was by design last week or not, I mean, the only thing loosening that run defense is maybe Mama Hart after.
Hey, whoa!
Christian's going to be upset.
Yeah,
making fun of
his
girl.
His material.
Nah, I'll joke aside. You know, I think maybe my boy Soap was hurt, but I don't know what it is. But I'm really concerned about the run defense. Le'Veon Bell did his thing too in that game. More than anything, boys, want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. You guys are the best, and I appreciate all you do. That's all.
All right, thanks, Chester.
Thank you, Chester.
You too, Chester.
You too.
Ben Tate is 1 yard last week.
You really are just...
I fixate on things, I know.
It's unbelievable.
Dennis Johnson had a good
game.
I never heard of him, but he had a decent game.
You know, I talked
to the Celtics back in the day.
I talked to Matt Smith,
Isn't
too.
That guy dead?
Yeah, he did.
And, did you just call Dennis Johnson that guy? Isn't, like, that guy, like you don't know who that is? Like, isn't that
I don't
guy
know who
dead?
Dennis Johnson.
You don't know DJ?
The running back.
No, the former Celtic he was talking
about.
No,
I know him.
And you said, isn't that guy dead?
Well,
like, you don't
know
who DJ?
We were talking about Dennis Johnson, so I was saying, that guy is dead. That Dennis Johnson. I know who DJ is.
That's what I'm saying. It was just weird.
Quick side note.
DJ Williams.
Did you happen to watch the Brian Shaw thing on Real Sports?
Did not.
You probably lived it, so I don't... Like, his whole family died in a car crash in the early 90s when he was here.
Yeah.
And Reggie Lewis came out and was, like, the only one who could console him. And Reggie Lewis died 3 weeks later. Like... Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he's still not over it. He has a bag that he keeps their clothes in that every once in a while he has to go, and he says he holds it up to his nose.
I didn't know that.
Sniffs really? It in. He feels like he needs a, quote, a dose of them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know any of that stuff. But
he's
now
the head coach in the Nuggets. So.
Shaw and Reggie were very close. D. Brown was in that.
But, I mean, he basically lost his
parents,
really,
really close.
His sister, and his best friend in 3 weeks. His best friend who helped him get through his parents and his
sleep. Yeah, I actually saw a story on the College Game Day this week, too. You know, the Baylor coach, Art Briles?
Yeah.
I guess he played at Houston in the mid-70s, and his family was coming to see him. It was his parents, his aunt, and his girlfriend were driving, and they got killed in a crash on the way to the game. And he remembers sitting there, and he just kept looking, and he had actually told them, you know, I'm probably not going to play much. Don't bother coming. It's not that big a deal. And they were coming anyway. They came to all the games. And he kept looking in the stands, and he didn't see them, and he was telling the story. And then after the game, the coach, Bill Yeomans, told them what had happened. And it turned out the girlfriend didn't come, and he ended up marrying her. They're still married. And just, you know, the what-if game
right.
has been, like, his whole life. And so some of that stuff that, you know, it was a pretty pretty emotional. And he just stopped. He was, I think he was talking to Wojo there, Gene Wojciechowski, mm-hmm. I think his name is. And he just, it was really emotional stuff.
Oh, yeah, I teared up last night because it was a lot of that same stuff because he bought him a house in Vegas, and they lived in California, I think. And he bought them a new car so they could drive to the Vegas house.
because they were going to fly, and they decided to drive because he bought him this new car. And 500 miles in, they were literally 10 minutes from the house.
Oh,
the father fell asleep and flipped the car over. And...
Good Lord. Eldridge, his ears must have been ringing. He's on the line. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, Andy, I regret that comment you made because I heard it. But no. I didn't let y'all down on purpose.
I made the comment.
That was Fred who made that comment. You let him down because he wanted to ride in a Camaro, and you blew him off.
No, I didn't. I did. If you look on Facebook at PFW, I tried to hit y'all up that same day where y'all was at.
We don't do Facebook.
We're not.
Well, you do. You have Facebook, don't you? Facebook is so 10 years ago.
Sort of.
Well,
everybody's Snapchatting now. Well, at least if you dirty talking.
Dirty talking. But my question is, I liked the game last week. And Houston, I think we should beat them over there in a trap game. But they got rid of two guys, Folsom and Green. Anybody know what two they're trying to bring on, or they just making them off the play?
DJ Williams is the reported tight end that they've already added and was probably wearing number 86 on the field. Mm-hmm. And 69.
Would seem like an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah, look, definitely an offensive player.
Could be a McDonald.
Yeah, he plays tackle, right?
He plays everything.
He's played everything, but he's more of an interior
If it's the Nick, not the Chris.
Yeah, I don't know who it is.
Oh.
It might not even be the McDonald. Who knows?
He's that Scottish offensive lineman.
Right.
Classic, Freddie. You gotta get that one out there again.
What's that, Eldridge?
He wears a kilt on to practice.
What was that?
Are they going to go to the practice squad, or are they going to come up and play, or what?
They'll practice tomorrow. They'll have
he wants to know if Williams will be on the practice
He's on
squad.
The roster. No.
Oh, I think so Williams will be replacing the Who Man on the active.
Yeah,
he'll be on the active roster.
So I think she beat him 35-17.
All right. Sounds good to me.
I'm going 31-13. But yeah.
No trappings there.
Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. First off, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you have a healthy and a safe one.
You too.
Gobble, gobble.
And, Eldridge kind of took a little of my thunder there. What do you think about this guy, DJ Williams? I mean, what kind of tight end is he?
The kind that has nine career catches.
He's an inline tight end, right?
No,
he's an H-back tight end.
Yes, he's a smaller guy, the quote-unquote move tight end.
Slash tight end.
Yeah, he's like 245, 250 pounds. He's not a big, blocking road grader type glorified tackle.
Tight end. Okay.
He was pretty athletic, but he hasn't really done anything in the NFL. He was at Arkansas. He was a former Mackey Award winner.
Oh, yeah.
But he hasn't panned out in the NFL. Yes. I think 2010, I want to say.
Did he come out of the same draft as Hernandez?
He came out in 11.
It was 11? Okay.
I think it was.
I thought it was 10. So I thought he was in that tight end draft, but maybe he wasn't.
Right.
Might have been.
And then here's another thing, guys. I know everybody's killing Ridley, and, you know, I love the way the guy runs, and the fumbles are definitely a concern. But, I mean, you're not going to cut this guy. He's too talented to cut. So you don't start him. And you use him, you use him sporadically, until he can get this under control. I mean, because I agree with what everyone's saying, it's at costly times of the game. And I mean, any turnover is one that you don't want to have. And he just seems to, have the fumbleitis going on right now.
But what leads you to believe he's going to get it under control?
Didn't Tiki Barber get it under control? Adrian Peterson didn't.
Some don't. We don't know.
I'm not putting him in the same realm as those running backs. But
you kind of are.
He's not the first running back who's had that problem.
You're telling me he's too talented to cut. So you are putting him in a category that, I mean, if he fumbles the ball, I don't think he's too talented to cut. I disagree with you guys. I don't think he will get cut, but he's not those guys. So I can't put up with the fumbles.
I'm not saying he's those guys. But
I mean, he also gets the ball 150 less times than those guys, and he fumbles the same amount.
Oh, of course, yeah. I understand what you're saying. And here's another quick question for you. Obviously it was a great game, and, it was another Brady Manning battle. Now, when the time does come, when both of them retire and, we have that great debate, who's the – greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. I mean, both those guys are going to be up there. But I think you got to put Brady ahead of Manning, not just for the Super Bowl wins, but for the head-to-head battles.
Oh, I think you do. I think you're absolutely right. I think Super Bowl appearances as well, not just wins. Right. I think Brady definitely. If you start going by numbers, you can make the case for Brady. Just as you know, people say, "Oh, well, Manning has the
certainly
numbers." Not really. You know, not
head to head.
Brady
doesn't
has the touchdown record, right?
Right.
You know, and Manning held that. I mean, you know, that's a feather in our hat. You know, because that's just you know bragging rights kind of thing. But you know, it was a real good game. I think that this team is. You know, head in the right direction. I think, you know, these wins are going to be crucial come playoff time, you know.
Yep.
I mean, because we are a relatively young team. And, you know, hey, who knows? This might be our year again. You know, we play in New York, and they're calling that big snowstorm. Who's more apt than the Patriots to play in that kind of weather?
Absolutely. All right.
You know, I mean, so it might even be like a little home game for them.
Absolutely,
you know,
Dave.
Travel three.
I'm with you.
All right, guys.
I'm with you.
Have a great holiday.
It would be so great to. Thanks for the call, Dave.
You too, Dave.
It would be great to take the Super Bowl in the home of the Jets. That'd be great.
Paul, what do you think?
I just hope it doesn't snow.
I don't know. Yankees Almanac. No, Farmer's Almanac.
Yankees Almanac.
How much did this,
that
the
government
game
cheese
Sunday night?
Your mother.
How much did that game Sunday night hurt Manning's chances for the 50 touchdown pass record?
I don't think at all.
You don't think it hurt him at all?
Threw a couple.
Oh,
you're gonna have down
like
games.
He didn't get blanked.
What? What's he at now? 30.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're not paying attention to that.
No. I don't. I mean, I have. To, you have to give me credit for being consistent. I didn't care when Brady was doing it, and I don't care when Manning is doing it even less.
What impresses you, Paul?
Wins.
Northeastern basketball.
Wins.
Wins.
Super Bowl titles. Brady's got that all over Manning. That's why I think Brady's better than Manning.
Dan in Virginia.
Pretty simple.
Dan of Virginia, at this time of giving thanks,
absolutely.
I wanted to say I wanted to say a big thank you to all for another season of great shows. You always provide a compelling mix of information, insight, humor, entertainment, mutual belittlement, and bad accents. Of course, with the big day tomorrow, it will
Danny
be,
Picard
it would be remiss of me if I didn't, of course, wish you and your families a happy butt fumble day. Seriously, though, happy Thanksgiving, and as much as we all like more PFW in Progress shows, I hope you enjoy the day off with your families. Is it just me, or did anyone else picture an Elmer Fudd Daffy Duck cartoon when Andy talked about going duck hunting? The head is probably about the right size.
I'll say it's a big target.
Yeah.
You really do have to watch yourself.
I was going to ask if the game against Houston was a potential trap like the Jets after the Saints this year or the Jags last year, but you already covered that. So I'll just ask what you are all thankful for this year. Can be Patriots-related or more personal.
I don't think the Jets was a trap game this year. Certainly the Jags would
the
fall
Jets
into
is
the
never
category.
A trap game.
Exactly.
They hate the Jets.
Right. The Jags last year would be absolutely an example, and it ended up being that way because, I mean, remember, that was a dogfight. I do put that in a different category, though, like I talked about the Cleveland, because Jacksonville is, you know, they're a team that's, you know, they were trying to overcome and trying to build something, whereas Houston is, I think, ready to start golfing. I think that those guys are, you know, going to be into December.
Good portion of them are.
Yeah, they're going to be into December now, and they're looking. They had aspirations, and they know those are gone. They're not looking for their careers, a lot of them. You know, whereas guys on the Cleveland Browns are playing for a new head coach in Chudzinski in 2 weeks. I'll bet you that team plays hard. Now, they may not play well. The Patriots may steamroll them here.
Right.
I don't know. But I think they'll play hard. Because those guys are still trying to establish themselves for their new coach and trying to develop into something, whereas a lot of the guys on Houston, it is what it is. The guys know who are part of the future, and the guys that aren't, they know that,
you
too.
Know, they're like, if our coach is going to fake health. Then,
they're probably
going
to have a new coach next year.
They're certainly going to have a new coach. They're going to have a new quarterback. It's almost like, you know, everybody's been talking about the Celtics tanking. You kind of want to put like Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt away and say, I know you guys really want to try, and that's what you're all about.
And
certainly J.J. Watt.
This could be their last game. Who knows? Maybe they'll do that. Maybe they'll say, we're playing the Patriots this, you know, after what they did to us last year, maybe, you know, it would be nice to sort of, you know, give them a little speed bump on their success and then maybe throttle it down because we don't want to win too many. Because
you could set yourself up for a long run here. I mean, they're a relatively young team in a lot of areas, and you could either get your quarterback to replace Matt Schaub or, you know, Clowney. I know the shine is sort of off him. He's no longer going to be the number one pick or the greatest player of the generation. I don't know how you lose that overnight. But, you know, can you imagine if Clowney is what he's supposed to be and you pair him up with J.J. Watt?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you're talking about a tremendous defensive force to deal with. But and also, the quarterback, right, whoever they want at the quarterback.
Look at the difference.
But they could get both.
But look at
the
difference.
With the depth of the quarterback next year in the second round, they
could
get a
quarterback. That's true. If they could get Clowney at one or two and then 33 go
take,
do the
take somebody
Chargers
down there,
thing.
You know, yeah. Hundley from UCLA or some of the, you know, one of the second tier quarterbacks.
Or maybe they decide Case Keenum is, you know.
Look at the Colts did. I don't think the Colts are as talented as the Texans. And they got the number one pick and they ended up getting, now, obviously they got a franchise guy, a true legitimate franchise guy, and I'm not sure there's one of those available this year, but it doesn't take that much. You get when you're a good team and you get that number one pick, that's huge. And don't forget you pick number one in every round too. So you're getting more good players as the draft goes on.
It's sort of the Steelers formula. Remember they had those down years? I think they got Roethlisberger and Polamalu in a couple of those down years. It wasn't number one, it was like
11 and 16,
yeah, somewhere.
I want
to say. And you know, that sets you up to continue to run.
Barry Insiong, who is the master meetup guy, says Patriots fans that will be in Houston for the upcoming game should join the Patriots Tailgate Facebook group for info about the charity rally party at Diablo Loco, where there will be a silent auction, Patriots
Andy?
Pride contest, Miss Patriots Houston contest, and lots of other fun stuff going on. For more info, go to Facebook and search for the Patriots Tailgate group.
Now, what are the rules? Is Eric eligible for Miss Patriots Houston? How does that work?
Well, he's not from Houston.
You're not going to discriminate against Eric, are you?
Yeah, well, he's not from Houston.
Oh, that's
not
true.
Fair.
He's not from Houston. You're right. It's not Miss Rhode Island.
But it is at the Diablo Loco.
Crazy devils.
I can't believe the excuses that Eric makes about not going to that. I thought
he's, well, did it's you, beneath him. He's gone, just say it's beneath him.
He's gone now. Did you go at like 7 o'clock, like you said, or did you go
earlier?
No,
well, we got in at like 4:30, and then you know we cleaned up and went downstairs. So whenever that was, 6 o'clock, 5:30,
okay. So
I don't know.
All right.
You know,
so he's
and then we walked, so I don't know what time we actually walked in the door, but it was dark out.
Who's we?
Me, Silverman, Nordstrom.
So Silverman walked in, it was still light out. You and Keith knocked in, it was dark.
Right. You know,
I got to go.
So I don't understand. So, what about picks?
We got to do a mafia.
I'm hoping to come back.
Oh.
I'm hoping to grab Steven Gostkowski. And then come back.
Did Eric give you his picks?
No. We'll have to do them off air.
We're not going to do them on air?
Well, I'd like... I mean, if you get back, then we'll the three of us will do them.
I'm going to try to get back. I think I'm going to get Gostkowski quick and come back.
What are you doing with Gostkowski?
TV.
Oh, okay.
You know, our show airs tonight, and we don't have any... Right now, we have an
gonna,
open slot in
the
TV
see if
show.
You can get a Pulse story, but it's all right.
Now I got to get your Pulse stories for you?
Well, we can't all leave.
That's true. Okay.
Well, I'll come get Gostkowski, and then you can leave.
You know what? We can run a getting to know. Go ahead. Go.
Joel's in Merrimack, and he has some fun facts. Just a fun comparison. You make the pick. Running back A, 2 years in the NFL, roughly 2,000 yards rushing.
I hate these with a bloody passion.
Zero fumbles. Running back B, almost 2 years in the NFL, roughly 1,900 yards rushing, 19 touchdowns, 9 fumbles. Who do you take? I think you know who the running backs are, and yes, I know he did not lose all the fumbles, but he put it on the ground 9 times.
I'm guessing it's Benny and Ridley?
I guess, yeah.
Well, it doesn't say? He doesn't say who A and B are?
It doesn't say.
No.
It doesn't say. So.
I need more information. I don't like those blind kind of things when you don't know who's who because...
Because they try to trick you.
Well, I think you can... There's a lot of different ways you can compile the same numbers. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I think, for example, people look and say, why don't they just give it to Bolden? Right? Well, has Brandon Bolden run the ball in a situation more than 10 times this year where the other team thought the Patriots were going to run the ball? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
he gets the ball on 3rd and 12.
Right.
And he runs for 6 yards. It's like, oh, he's averaging 6 yards a carry. Steven Ridley, when he's on the field, the other team thinks the Patriots might run.
Right.
And he's running against teams that are trying to stop him.
Right.
So the yards are going to be a little bit tougher to come by.
Yep.
Now, I'm not excusing him for fumbling the football. You got at some point, you got, and I don't think, and we argued about this yesterday, I don't think he is talented enough to put up with the fumbles. He's not Adrian Peterson. He's not Jamal Charles. He's not Reggie Bush, even. He needs to learn how to hold on to the football. And if he doesn't, he's going to find himself out of a job.
Let's see. Who is this writing in here? Go to the bottom, but it doesn't say. Sam from South Amboy. It's been a while since I wrote in. Day before Turkey Day at work is really boring, especially when it seems time stands still. But I can't complain because I get to listen to the best radio crew in the history of radio.
Ooh.
Wow.
Lofty praise.
First, great win on Sunday night. After Manning's first touchdown pass, did you see him hurry back to the side to be under that big tarp jacket? That boy just can't play well in the cold. It makes me wonder what his thought process was picking the Broncos in the first place. Good point. You know, playing in a dome all those years. Secondly, I heard on NFL...
I don't see it as being as big a problem. I think the wind was a problem the other night. I don't see the cold as being as big a problem as other
people
do.
For him it is. I heard...
He doesn't do well
in the cold. He's won two games under 30 degrees, something like that.
But how does he play is what I'm asking you.
Well, I don't know. Not good enough to win.
I think the other night...
Not good enough to win.
I think the other night he couldn't throw the ball into the wind. I think that's inarguable.
Right.
I think he was clearly physically compromised the other night. I don't think it's as big a deal as other people do in terms of cold. I think he played fine in the playoffs last year in 4-degree weather.
I heard on NFL that Houston has allowed the fewest yards to opponents. Should we take that seriously? Do you foresee Houston finally playing well since this is their homecoming game?
I do not. But statistically, offensively and defense, going into last week, offensively and defense, they were top 10. They were number one in offense and number eight in defense, number eight in offense. They're 2-9. That's the stat I take seriously. I think they have talent. I think the Texans are a talented team, but when you don't have to play a quarterback and you're minus 12 or 13 or whatever it is in turnover ratio, you're going to lose a lot of games. And if they come out and they don't turn the ball over at all, they might be able to hang around for a while. I think they will turn it over because that's what they do. And the Patriots take it away. That's what they do.
I wonder what a team's records are coming off a miserably bad weather game and then going into like a dome. Like, is it like such a?
I bet the opposite is even worse.
Oh yeah.
When you go from a nice warm game to a bitter cold game.
But I wonder if teams that come off those, you know, horrifically cold or bad weather games, and then they go into that controlled environment, if their play, you know, ramps up even more than it would normally.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have any numbers on that.
But
you're right about Peyton. I mean, listen, the numbers are just, they're horrific.
Yeah.
To me, it's more about Brady than anything else. I just think that the contrast to Brady being so good in those conditions is, that's why Brady's better. He's tougher. He's mentally tougher.
Michael in California, my guess for the next game is Blunt will get the start. Ridley will get some attempts, and we'll have to earn his starting role back. The fact is we can't have all of our starting corners injured. We need to relieve them a little and let them heal. Do you think we can give them a break this time?
That's an interesting point. You know, do you rest Dennard and Tlaib and say we got to find a way to win this game without them in an effort to get them healthier? I don't know. I don't know if Bill looks at it that way. I don't know if you can afford to do that. The defense is stretched pretty thin, and it's not that good to begin with.
Lee in North Carolina, Andy's Paul is the Walrus comment sparked a little WWE thought. Paul Heyman is now being mocked as the Paulrus. Therefore, let's give the PFW boys some WWE monikers. Paul, of course, is the Paulrus. Andy is the Hart Foundation. Fred is Classy Freddie Blassie.
Absolutely.
And Eric is the Jabroni. Who's the Jabroni? I don't know.
The Jabroni.
Let's see. Who's this?
You don't
now?
Remember The Rock? The Rock used to call everybody a Jabroni.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He had the song, you know, the Yankee Doodle.
No.
No, never mind.
Artie in Boston. It's a great time of year, still basking in the sunshine of Sunday night's victory. I confess I was one of the early ledge jumpers, but have been very encouraged with the Patriots' performance in the last two games. Good teams do indeed get better as the season goes on, and we are surely seeing that this year. I believe Manning is starting to feel his age, and I no longer regard him or the Broncos as the invincible threat I once did.
That's true.
On a different subject, I may know the answer to this one, once, but I've forgotten. Is there a story why the Lions and Cowboys always play on Thanksgiving? Well, I think back in the day, they were the only ones that wanted to, right?
Well, it's, I don't know how it started, but I think I think you're right. I think they volunteered to do it, and they stayed with it, and
yeah.
It's tradition now.
Yep. A very happy Thanksgiving to you and your families. In a confusing, often distressing world, I'm thankful for the diversion of football, especially Patriots football and PFW, and all of you add a lot to that enjoyment. So thank you. And P.S., kudos to Fred on a very good week of picks. Did I have another good week?
You were just okay this week. But
just okay?
I was beyond pathetic.
Really?
I'm all done. I might suspend operations for December.
Wow. What's going on this year, Paul? Because usually you're pretty good.
I know. I dominate, but not this year.
Let's see.
You are dominating.
Chris from Miami says, I don't think the defense is given enough credit. Yeah, we've got the turnovers, but we also stopped them and forced them to punt at times. It wasn't all turnovers that got us the ball back. Also, how about Logan Ryan reading Manning's eyes and having the athleticism to jump and catch the ball over Decker?
It's a good play.
I think we really found
good play.
I think we really found somebody good there. I may be over-exaggerating a bit, but he's been very productive.
I disagree with that.
I'd
but
love
he
to
was,
hear
that
your
was
opinion.
A very, very good play.
He's made some plays. That's like
and
the
he's
third
gotten
or fourth
beaten
play.
A lot.
Yeah, no, but he's making.
He gets beat more than he makes plays.
Oh, come on.
But that was a very, very good play. And the way the emailer described that is exactly what happened. He jumped the inside. In terms, you know how we always do the eyeball test? Eric Decker's a guy I absolutely hated coming out of college. I didn't think there was anything there, and I thought he was a product of Manning and all that stuff. And seeing him in person just completely cemented that. I think he was a total non-factor the other day. I think that play was all on him. I think he allowed Logan Ryan to beat him on that play. And that shouldn't happen. No wide receiver shouldn't let that happen.
Joel from Connecticut wanted to email yesterday, but I knew you were going to be busy with the win over Denver, so I just enjoyed the show. Couple questions. One, the way I saw Jamie Collins play on Sunday, I honestly think we need to see him on the field much more from now on. I mean, look at the Hightower experiment and what plays has he made. Collins stopped Wes Welker on third down. Need there be any more explanation? Hightower would never have been able to do that, or he would just look at Welker until the ball was caught or hit him in the head. So the question is, do you agree with my premise that we found a jewel in Collins? I think it's too soon to tell.
Collins played well the other night.
Collins had a specific job, though, to do, and he did it pretty well.
Yep.
The question is, if you're out there having to do a lot of different things, which linebackers have to do, you know, for a lot of reps, how will he do? That jury is out. We don't know that yet. But he did well in the job he was given to do Sunday night.
I thought he played very well. And again, I'm right with the emailer here. Those are the things. He made stops on Welker. I thought he was tasked with rerouting some of those shallow crosses, and I thought he did a really nice job of it. And I don't think that Hightower could have done that.
I feel we should give Gostkowski a lot of credit with us being so upset with him for missing field goals. He has been the one to either keep us in games or, as Sunday night showed, to win us games.
Who was upset with the kicker?
I think in years past people.
Oh, were, yeah. Oh. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about now.
No, he's talking
about. Well, last year he had a horrific season. This year he's missed once all year.
It makes me feel like we're back in 2001. I mean, I'm not saying Gostkowski is better than Vinatieri, but he's certainly being clutch. So do you think Gostkowski could be our trump card in the playoffs? He definitely.
To be honest with you, I hope not. I hope we're not relying on field goals to win games. Let's put it that way.
But you know, we liked him enough for our by the bye awards. We gave him offensive player of the.
Well, that was more of a slap at the rest of the offense.
Oh, it was.
Anything.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, no one else had done anything.
Well, but that
he was responsible for all our points.
Right, and I think that's the emailer's point. And I think we recognize that, and so we're agreeing.
Yeah, he's had an amazing season for a kicker. Only one miss. And he's had some long ones.
Yep. Paul in the UK.
Paulie?
After seeing Brady pull us back yet again, got me thinking on great Patriots. Pretty sure number 12's number will be retired. But do you think there is anyone else in this team who has the potential to have the same honor? And is there anyone from past teams whose number you would have wanted to see retired?
I don't think anybody else will have their number retired.
I think Belichick will have his hoodie retired.
They'll probably do something to recognize him, but
right.
I don't think they want to retire numbers.
No.
I think Brady will be an exception, but right. I don't think there'll be anybody else.
I don't think so either. Yeah. They have too many numbers retired as it is. So. See, the problem
well,
with
they
the
had
Patriots,
some by accident.
I've said this before that any team, not just the Patriots, but any team should not start doing rings of honor or retired numbers until you've won a championship as a team.
Okay, so you can't have greatness unless you win a championship.
Nope.
I don't agree with
because
you, but we've argued about that
times. You've got to achieve that team goal first, and then you can start saying, okay, these individuals deserve to be honored that way. But you got to achieve that team goal first so that you have the bar, you know where the bar is, and then you can figure out who was great. Yeah. And I'm not just saying,
I don't think a Ring of Honor is a team oriented thing. It's
I'm
an individual.
Not saying you have to it's be on that championship thing. Team to be in the Ring of Honor, or, but you have to get the bar there, and then you figure out who's worthy of being in.
Yeah, I don't like that. No? I think a Ring of Honor, I think when you retire a guy's number or put him in your Hall of Fame, that's an individual achievement, not a team achievement.
It is, but it's a team sport.
It's a team sport, but that's not where we're at. We're talking about individual honors.
But, you know, the Patriots honored guys back in the...
Should you have Pro Bowlers if they're from teams that aren't in the playoffs?
Different subject. Not apples to apples. Different.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, different. Sean in Petaluma, California. We came out from California for Sunday. Edelman was running in the parking lot when we walked up early in the afternoon. Went to the hall at Patriot Place. Ate close to Merrill Hodge at Restaurant 28. Where's that?
No idea.
Went to Bass Pro Shops to get out of the cold. Oh, that's at the hotel. At the Renaissance Hotel. It's called
Sounds like a fancy place.
It's called the 28. And then came the game. What an experience. We stayed all game.
What was Merrill Hodge doing here?
It was I don't know. Probably doing something for ESPN. Maybe it wasn't Merrill Hodge. Maybe it was somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I take the guy's word for it.
What an experience.
Doing.
We stayed all game, and that says a lot for a couple of warm-weather Californians. It felt
like kudos, because you're not in the majority.
It felt like it warmed up by 20 degrees in the second half when the offense got rolling. We're going to be that team in the playoffs this year that goes in hot and no one wants to face. Anyway, thanks for the indescribable day out there at Gillette. We'll never forget it. Well, that's nice. You had a whole day here at Gillette.
So, who are you rooting for? No, I gave him props for staying.
Oh.
I agree with that.
No, but
that
there was a hidden shot in there about you're in the minority.
You're in a minority. I think a lot of people left that game.
A lot of people did.
A lot of people left that game.
Though, don't you think?
Maybe. I don't know. It was close.
I'd say 10,000 left.
I think more than that left.
Really?
I'm with Paul.
What do you think? Well, you work down there. You know.
Did you see people? Because this is what I was told. A lot of people that were up high came down and filled the lower bowl.
Yes.
Because by the time the comeback was in full swing, the place was absolutely rocking.
Yeah, get out of the wind.
Yeah, and they got down. And
the lower bowl.
The upper decks were empty by the end of the game.
The lower
right?
bowl was real loud and real.
Because
real
everybody cool. hit. Cause, and that's where the Hardy Souls are from, by the way.
So the upper deck was.
The upper deck was like empty.
Empty. Okay. That makes sense.
And we can't see that from the press box.
And then we saw. You know, once things started to get rolling toward the end of the third quarter, start of the fourth, especially for the start of the fourth, once we came out of the TV timeout, you started seeing the streams of souls come out of the club. Back down to the red seats.
So it was more like 20,000 left, probably. Then.
No, there was probably, if the stadium holds, what, 70?
68.
68.
There was probably
a little more than half full by the end of the game.
40 to 50,000 people in here, I'd say.
Yeah, so. Yeah, 15,000
left. Yeah, I could see that. A lot of people had told me that they were up way high and they went down and they got into the lower bowl because all the people in the lower bowl left.
Mark in Fall River says.
It's nicer down there because you were out of the wind for sure.
Yeah. Mark in Fall River says, I spent Sunday night through Tuesday morning waiting for your show. Every week I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say about the game, but there was so many topics to hit on this week after that crazy game. Haven't had a chance to listen yet today, but I'm wondering if you guys have discussed the crowd we just did on Sunday night. I am right with you guys that it is usually a disappointment. Early in the game, they were booing, which is relatively understandable for the performance on the field, especially in such a high-profile game. I wasn't at the game, but as the tide turned in the second half, it seemed like the crowd was getting pretty loud. On TV, it came across as one of the louder crowds I've heard at Gillette. I understand you can't get up for the largest comeback in team history, then this crowd is even worse than I thought.
Yeah.
I was hoping to get your opinion on this subject. Well, we just now as far as noise,
it was loud.
The people that were here were making noise.
The last two touchdowns, you could literally feel the press box moving.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was loud.
And Zolak
it
referenced
was really
it a lot
loud.
on the radio
forget
broadcast.
Him. Forget the clown show.
The clown show.
Zolak was loud.
There's your brain!
Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef?
He gets paid for that.
Unbelievable, right?
We're doing this.
James writes in, I would like to know why everyone thinks Peyton is the greatest regular season quarterback. I think Brady is Brady, and he has the highest winning percentage, has broken the touchdown record, has an average at least 11 to 12 wins a season. If you guys tell me that Peyton is close to breaking every record Favre has done, I'll tell you this Peyton has played three more seasons than Tom. If you average out Tom 13 or 14 seasons on all the stats, I bet you Tom would be close to Manning's stats. I'm not saying I would want Manning playoff record. I'm just saying Tom is just as great in the regular season, and with the edge over Manning 10-4, he should be considered the greatest quarterback of the regular season and the playoffs. I would love to know what you guys think.
I think head-to-head he's dominant, Brady. But I think all the numbers, the regular season numbers, I think you're shortchanging Manning a little bit.
If you had one game, you had a win, who do you pick?
Brady. You just
said that's the answer then. If you have one game that you have to win and you want Brady over Manning, then Brady's a better quarterback.
Who's ever disagreed with that?
No, I mean, but I think that's the question that needs to be asked to anyone having this debate.
No, but what I'm saying,
but
we're talking.
You have to win it. Who do you pick? If the answer is Manning, then you think Manning's the better quarterback.
Okay, but what I'm saying is when we're talking about all the different regular season numbers and we're saying Brady has 50 touchdowns and Brady averages 11, 12, well, so does Manning. So what are you saying?
Right.
Brady had four. I mean, Manning had 49 touchdowns.
Right, and that's why I'm saying that's not the question to ask. Forget about all the stats. One game.
I know, but that's not what the email has said.
I know, but that's the question that needs to be asked when in this debate. Who would you want to have?
Now, I would also rather have Brady's teams in those games.
Well,
I'd rather have Bill Belichick coaching than Jim Caldwell.
Separate question.
And John Fox.
Separate question.
And Jack Del Rio Sunday night.
Separate question.
But that's part of the equation.
Well, no.
If I could switch coaches, I'd rather have Manning. If I had Belichick as my coach, I'd rather have Manning the quarterback.
Forget about that. No one else.
So we can't analyze it. Just have to say one or the other.
Right.
Brady then.
Right.
If I can't think about it and use any logic, Brady.
Right. Right.
He's 10-4. We'll break it down simplistic. He's 10-4.
Who would you
want to win
one
Manning.
Game? Brady.
Right.
Right. You know.
But if you're asking me who I'd rather have, I would rather have Belichick and Manning.
Okay. But it doesn't matter. If you could have Manning on the Patriots team with Belichick and all the supporting cast, or Brady on a Belichick team, who would you rather have to win one game?
I'd have to think about that.
Oh!
That to me is a coin flip.
Okay. See, now we're getting to it. Now this is where we're talking.
I know, Brady. But you wouldn't let me talk about any of that. You just said, that's all that matters. Who would you take? And I said, Brady.
Well, I'm trying to
I would take Brady.
I'm trying to refine it so that now I can get a straight answer from you.
I gave you the straightest of answers. Brady, he's 10-4 against Manning.
Yeah.
I can't ignore that.
But
he owns Peyton Manning.
I'm just talking about not a head-to-head match. Any game that you have to win, who do you want to be
your
quarterback?
Well, if I'm playing a game against somebody else, I don't have any problem with Manning. I don't want Manning against the Patriots.
But you can only choose one guy.
If I have Manning to play a game against anybody else, I'll take Manning.
But you have to choose between the two of them.
I'll take Manning against anybody else.
Then you think that he's a better quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of all that goes into it.
So I've outed you.
No, you didn't out me because I'll take Brady in your scenario.
No.
You're changing the argument.
Everything else being equal, you take Manning.
No.
You just said you would.
It's not all equal, Fred. There's other things that go into it.
I said in the case that everything else was equal.
I'll take Brady.
You just said you'd take Manning.
No, I said I'd have to think about it. It's a coin flip. It's not a coin flip to me if they're playing against the Patriots.
No.
It's the Patriots six days a week and twice on Sunday.
And I agree. That's a separate issue, but that's not the question. That's not the question.
Brady is my answer.
No,
you can keep twisting it and turning it any way you want.
10 seconds ago.
I said I'd have to think about it if you're having Manning against somebody else.
Right. Manning or Brady against somebody else on the Patriots team.
I need to know who the somebody else is.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, you're really getting...
Is it Baltimore?
Now you sound like me.
Is it Baltimore?
Yes.
I'll take Manning.
Okay. All right.
Is it the Jets? I'll take Manning.
Because of their defenses, the way they handle
yes.
it? Yes. All right.
This is what I'm talking about. You can't make it so simplistic.
So you're saying
all things being equal,
it's not equal.
But
this is interesting. So you're saying, you know.
Against the Patriots?
A couple years ago.
I'll take Brady.
When the Ravens, was it 09, when the Ravens came in here and decimated the Patriots, you're saying same team, Manning's the quarterback, Patriots have a better
chance. I don't
chance
think Manning
of
has the problems with that defense that Brady does.
I'm just saying, with that same team, Manning as quarterback, they would have had a better day.
You're making this way too complicated.
Wow.
You're asking me to take one or the other. I'm taking Brady every time.
Okay.
He's a winner. He's more mentally tough. He's bad weather. Everything.
But you
every
brought
intangible.
In the head-to-head thing. I'm not even
every
talking
intangible
about that.
You can bring up or tangible that you can bring up, I will take Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So if you're asking me Brady against anybody without knowing who the anybody is, it's Brady.
See, I think that, like that Ravens game, Manning would have had just as hard a time that day.
I don't. Yeah.
You know, if the defense lets Ray Rice run up the middle right to start the game and you turn the ball over early, and I think
but that's how Manning plays every game. He has his defense letting the other team run all over. Well, I mean, in Indianapolis. Now, I think Denver's defense is pretty decent now. But in Indianapolis, he had wretched defenses every game he ever played, and that's what he had to deal with. That's why you can't make all things equal. You're asking me who I would take?
That's why these discussions
Brady is
are
the
good.
Answer. Brady is my answer.
There's never any...
I'll take Brady.
Know. Okay, unless... But there's a caveat there for you.
No.
Okay.
You're asking me in general, who would I take, one or the other? I'll take Brady.
Okay, all right. I thought
And I'll admit, I go back and forth in this all the time. I think they're razor-thin close. But right now, I'll take Brady.
Okay. Are we going to do picks? Or
I also think that Manning physically is pretty close
well,
to
right
being,
now,
pretty close
I think
to being
done.
We're
seeing some signs. Yeah.
Pretty close to being done. I'm
going to
grab a Pepsi.
All right.
You can vamp for a second.
All right.
And then we can do picks.
You grab a while you're grabbing a Pepsi, I'll take old friend Brad from the Eastern Shore. Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Hey, good to talk to you guys. It's been a long time. Unfortunately, working in Pennsylvania now and don't get to call in during the show, but I listen every single day on my commute. So it's I skipped out early, so I get to call you guys today.
All right. Well, that's great. Thanks, Brad.
I have three quick things, and one for each of you. I know you're the only one there because I heard Paul just say he's got to go get a Pepsi.
Well, he said he was going to go get a Pepsi, but I
must be a Flomax.
He had a Flomax moment, so he had to go to the bathroom.
For Andy, I am in total agreement. This league sucks this year. I think we could have about 20 teams all 8-8 at the end of the season.
Is that bad? Is that a bad thing?
I think it is because I think it shows that either a lot of teams have bad defenses and good offenses, or vice versa. And it seems like we don't have complete teams anymore. You know, you're either a RG3 with all offense and no defense, and they lose, or you've got a good defense like Miami, but they can't score, so they lose. And everybody ends up losing half their game. It just shows, again, that the dominance of the Patriots over the last 13 years is unprecedented. The year in and year out, doesn't matter who's in, who's out, we have a successful season.
I agree with that.
Just absolutely phenomenal in this age of sport, where we see teams fall off the map. You look at Detroit Lions, who all the number one picks they had for a decade, they got number one, you know, in the top five first-round draft picks, and they still can't get out of their own way. And it just shows how, you know, I won't go down the argument of Bill's a very, very good drafter, but the guy knows how to put a team together.
He sure does. He knows how to build a football program.
And I just wanted to let you know real quick, my son had to go to bed at halftime because he really wasn't feeling well. He woke up sick on Monday, and I woke him up, and I looked at him, and I said, hey, buddy, they won. And he opened up one eye and just looked at me, and he was like, what? And I said, they won. They scored 31 unanswered points, and they won it in overtime. And the poor kid is sick. He's laying in bed, and he just opens up that one eye, and he looks at me, and he goes, wow.
Yeah.
And just closes his eye again. And it was, like, really, really cool to think. You know, in his mind, they were able to come back and do the impossible.
That's great.
And, it was fantastic to see it. I would like to just tell you guys, everything everybody says is true. It's so great. I deal with, because I'm in the middle of Pennsylvania, I have Ravens fans, Eagles fans, Steelers fans. None of them have the insight to the game that we have as Pats fans because of you guys.
Oh,
and
well, thank
it
you.
Is fantastic to have you guys with all the stuff you do, the early season, bringing in the players, talk. And, you know, my final thing is I just want to say to Paul, if he's back in his slow match.
Paul's back.
I am back.
Yep.
That I couldn't agree with you more, Paul. Give me a running back that knows how to wrap up and give me a few yards and let Brady win the game with his arm. That's why he's the greatest. I don't see how we can have Ridley coming back on the field for the rest of the season with three carries and a fumble.
Yeah. No, I agree,
tough.
Brad. Yeah.
Thanks, Brad. It's good to hear from you.
Yep.
And it's a tough one because I don't want to completely pull the plug either because I do think he's a talented guy. What I might come off as sort of a Ridley hater, and it's just the opposite. I really love those two guys. I love the two draft picks when they made them, and I thought they had great complementary skills that could be used in the same kind of you know together. But I just don't feel like Ridley is the dynamic presence that some other, you know, you always call him a difference maker, and I just don't feel like there's a huge difference when he's running the ball and other guys are running the ball. Yeah, he might get a few more yards, but he's not breaking the long touchdown runs that, you know, say,
no, he isn't,
you know,
I think he makes a
Jamal
difference
Charles,
to the
for example. I don't think he does. I think you can get those yards no matter who's running.
I think that, you know, look, and I'm, this is not me saying he should still be in there because at this point I'm with you guys, but I think that, you know, from the time he got back, he made a difference in that he kept defenses honest. You know, they had to defend the run.
But I'll give you an example. In the second half the other night, the Broncos consistently were falling for play-action fakes. They were biting on play-action fakes. Ridley wasn't on the field.
Yeah, I
so
Sunday night,
I don't think it does make it as big a difference as you do. If he was doing, like, Jamal Charles has a chance to break one at any time. You know, I'm not even talking about Adrian Peterson, the greatest running back of his generation. I'm talking about other kinds of guys, even Chris Johnson with Tennessee, who is not going to give you the consistent production that Ridley does, but he has that threat, that dynamic threat. If I was getting that from Ridley, where I could get a 50-yard run somewhere along the line, then I would say, you know what? He gives me an element of offense I don't have when he's not on the field. I don't think the element of him being on the field is that much different than Vereen or Blunt.
I don't know about Vereen because we really haven't seen Vereen
in
that lead back situation.
All the other guys average over 4 yards a carry just like he does.
I think that Ridley was clearly the best lead back on the team. It's a shame.
That's not what I said. He is the best runner of those guys. I don't think the difference is as great as you do. Mm. That's where we disagree. I don't think the difference between Ridley and Blunt and Bolden is as big as you think it is.
Oh, I do.
He's better than them.
Well, Ridley, I don't know. I mean, he could, you know, he could be inserted into this role, and maybe he
will. Oh, Vereen, you mean?
Yeah, Vereen.
He's not better than Vereen.
Yeah. I mean, all around, he's not.
I don't think it's
just a between the tackles runner.
The only thing he does better than Vereen is power running.
Well, yeah, that's a big part of it.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. They run a lot out of spread formations, and they pick spots. Guess what we're arguing about, Andy? Again. No, Ridley.
What the hell are you doing?
What happened to the door?
All right. So I guess we're going to do picks.
Let's do picks. If Andy's here.
All right. We're going to have to hurry.
Full slate this week.
How was your talk with Gostkowski?
Good. I think it was unintentionally enlightening. And what I mean by that is he answered a couple questions talking about how he's matured and how things used to bother. Like, I started off with...
And that's true. He did kind of have a thin skin.
Well, and he said that a couple times. I started off, I kind of joked and said, you know, normally people would talk about the kick, but I want to talk about something else. Shane Vereen described the game-winning plays as a lucky bounce and then meat split the uprights. I assume you're meat, and why did I not know your name was meat? And he went with this whole thing. They gave it to him as a rookie. Josh Miller, I think, started it. It caught on. Brewski, it bothered him. He goes, I used to be sensitive back then. I just wanted to fit in, and I didn't really like him. But now it doesn't bother me. I laugh it off. That was one answer. Then another one I asked, Thanksgiving. Just, you know, holiday in the middle of the week. Is there any issue? You know, that kind of stuff used to bother me. But now, you know, my life is a circus. I got kids and whatever. Now it's not hard for me to deal. So I thought twice he kind of referenced... Mm. Yeah, I used to be a little bit of a head case, but now I'm not anymore.
Maturation.
And you know what's funny?
And maybe that's why he's 26 of 27, hit 21 in a row. And
I don't know if it's just with me and you, but can't you see that? Like,
yes.
like a different comfort level,
yes.
The way he interacts with us?
Yes.
You know, as opposed, and not that he was ever, he was never like rude to us or anything like that, but he seems like he's much more comfortable.
And the,
no, he
excuse
just,
me?
He just thought of something. And
more room. Important to the likes of us. You know, I asked the cliche Thanksgiving, you know, what do you like to eat? And he goes through and he, you know, turkey, and then he goes, green bean trees. And I go, whoa, what's a green bean tree? And he goes, well, you take the green beans and you wrap them in bacon.
Oh,
and I go, whoa, you found a way to make green beans sound good.
Yeah.
Like, could you make
it? Where was that when I was growing up?
Right. Could you take a healthy vegetable
awesome.
And make it any less healthy all in one? So, yeah, it was a good interview. Look for it. Lord only knows tonight at 7:30 right. Tomorrow's easier. Just 7:30 on Thanksgiving.
Tonight, probably after the Celtics at some point. But
all right. So what's going on with the picks?
Fred just continues to dominate. 9-4-1.
Because he knows crap more than anyone else.
Andy, 8-5-1.
I'm sorry, but you remind me of Hitler a little bit when you do that. You have this weird, like, hand gesture.
What's the number one rule, Andy?
Number one rule, Andy.
Yeah, I don't like it.
What? No Hitler jokes.
Number one rule. He reminds me.
Eric, 6-7-1.
Easy for you to say.
And I was 4-9-1.
Wow.
What was I? I was talking, sorry.
8-5-1.
Ooh, nice.
With the spread.
Shut up, you pompous animal.
With the spread, Fred, 8-5-1.
That's good.
Because we had a tie game and we had a tie with the spread this week. Different games. Let's see. Eric was 7-6-1. Andy was 6-7-1. And Paul, 3-10-1.
Whoa!
Tough week.
Wow.
Oh, you suck.
Yes.
Did you just swallow over there?
I'm in last place in both categories now. Fred.
Oh, no! We suck again!
116-59-1.
That's pretty good.
Eric is in second, 105-70-1.
11. You've got a game a week lead. We're in week 11 or whatever. I mean,
Andy, 104-71-1, and I'm 103-72-1.
Yeah.
So I went from second to last place in one week. With the spread, Fred, 93-74-9.
So he's only 10 games behind you?
That is insane.
On spread versus non-spread?
Yep.
He's having a good year.
I'm farther away
Fred
from
the
him.
Freak.
He's closer to me with the spread than I am regular to him. Anyway, 93-74-9. Let's see.
Andy.
No.
Eric.
85-82-9. Andy, 84-83-9.
Oh, no! We suck again!
And I'm 75-92-9.
You're nine games behind me. Or whatever that is. Yeah, nine.
Just a
bad year for Paul. I mean, the picks, the Patriots winning, just a bad year all around.
Suck it, Trebek!
He might have to go to the Super Bowl.
Don't forget to give up my social security number, Andy.
I don't know it.
All right.
7-1. Close?
No.
Let's go to the picks. Three games tomorrow. They start off at 12:30. Green Bay at Detroit.
More like 12:32.
Yeah. Green Bay at Detroit.
More like
Detroit by
deviled
six.
Egg time.
But before we talk about this game, did you happen to see the comments that the lineman from Green Bay made about Lions? Josh Sitton, I believe his name is.
But there's another lineman, too.
Awesome.
Just said that they're dirty. They're coached to be dirty.
Called,
that's who they are.
Called Schwartz, quote, a dick.
Yeah.
Did he get kicked out? Did his boss say, just go?
Yeah.
It was on a radio.
It was.
Anyway. Detroit by six.
I'm going to take Detroit just because no Aaron Rodgers. I know originally he had hoped or circled this game as a return. He's not going to return. And I just think Detroit's the better team. And but those things change these games.
Absolutely.
15-yard penalties, stupid plays, can change these games. But they're the better team, so I'll take them.
Yeah, I'll take Detroit as well, and it's all because of Rodgers. If Rodgers were playing, I'd be picking Green Bay.
I'm going to split the difference here. I'll take Detroit, but I'll take those numbers because I got a feeling it's going to be a closer game than people think. Oakland at Dallas.
Dallas by 9.5.
Dallas by 9.5. I'm going to take Dallas to win and cover. They're the better team. They're at home. They're still every week you look up and there's something going on in Dallas. Like, you know, Dez Bryant's ball security, it's going to be fixed. He says there's no problem. It was just the cold. Well, that's not an excuse. That is a problem. Jerry Jones saying he's doing the greatest job he's ever done as GM. They're just idiots, but they're more talented than the other idiots and they're at home.
Yeah, I'll take Dallas just because they're playing Oakland.
Me too. Dallas both ways. Pittsburgh at Baltimore, 8:30 game.
Baltimore by 3.
It's a tough one.
This is a tough one.
Both teams are playing better.
Well, the Steelers are trying to save their season. They're making a ditch, last ditch effort here. I'm going to take the Steelers to win this game. I'm just not picking the Ravens game. I don't like the Ravens.
I think both teams stink, to be honest with you. But I think Baltimore stinks a little bit less, and I'm going to go with my home team theory. And the loser of this game is out.
Yeah.
So it's a huge, huge game. But I'll take Baltimore at home.
So, Fred, you are rooting for
Pittsburgh. I want Pittsburgh to win, and I'm going to pick them because it's always more fun to root for the team that you picked.
What?
Well, oftentimes I'll pick a team that I don't necessarily want to win the game.
So why are you rooting for
I want Baltimore to be out of it so we get flexed out of week 16.
Oh,
he doesn't
okay.
want a Christmas week Sunday night game.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's his chance.
Makes
because
a lot
what
of
is
sense.
The good game? New Orleans, Seattle?
Well,
no.
Panthers. That can't be flexed in because they already got flexed in. But the Seahawks my guess, and the Cardinals could.
The Panthers and Saints got flexed. I think it's the Panthers and Saints got flexed into week 14, and then they play 2 weeks later. So I don't think they're going to flex them in again.
What if that's a big game?
It is a big game.
It is a big game.
But I don't think. Do you think that they'll do that? Like, they didn't do Denver and Kansas City again this week.
You know. Cowboys and Redskins are playing, but chances are Redskins are going to be out of it by then. But the Seahawks
there was one
and the Cardinals could.
What, the Colts and the Chiefs, I think,
Colts
is a chance.
Colts and the Chiefs are playing.
I think those are two fading teams.
Yeah.
Fading fast.
I do, too.
So, anyway.
I think the Carolina Saints game is the big one.
It is, but I just don't see them flexing it twice in 3 weeks.
Right. But I think the Cardinals are coming
and plus,
on.
Plus, I don't see them flexing the Patriots out because the Patriots are ratings gold.
I don't really either. And I told Fred he can blame the Orioles. The Orioles effed him on this. Had they played the opener in Baltimore, this couldn't have been that game.
That's true. Okay, so I'm going to take Pittsburgh. Sunday at 1, Tampa Bay at Carolina.
Carolina by 8.5.
I love when you do that. I will take Carolina to, what is this, 7 in a row, 8 in a row? Continue to win and cover. I don't believe in the Mike Glennon.
Yeah, they have played better, but
Mike Glennon, offensive rookie of the year. Week.
I think Carolina. I think they lay a whooping on them.
I'm going to take those points, but Carolina wins. Jacksonville at Cleveland Sunday at 1.
Just so you know, that's two games I've already lost because Fred disagrees with me twice already. what was that?
Jacksonville at Cleveland.
Cleveland by 7. By 7.
Whedon's back. Jags on the road. I'm just going to go with my Jordan Todmans. I'm just going to hope my Jordan Todmans get a touchdown. I'm going to take the Jaguars. I don't know why.
I'll take Cleveland only because my crap team home theory.
I'm going to take Cleveland as well. We skip over New England and Houston. We'll go to Tennessee at Indianapolis Sunday at 1.
Indy by 4.5.
Did you see the minor hissy fit that Ursay had on Twitter last night?
Yeah.
They losing said, it.
Yeah.
Noomi was telling me about it at Comcast last night, but I didn't see the
losing it a little bit.
Quotes.
Must have been on the...
Did you say Indy by 7?
In the saw 4.
4.5.
Oh, 4.5.
I'll take Indy to win and cover. I think they're the better team. Not feeling good about it, though, because they are fading fast.
They are fading fast, and if not for an impressive comeback at Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, they'd really be in a free fall, but I will take the Colts as well.
Me too, Colts. Chicago at Minnesota, Sunday at 1.
Chicago at Minnesota. Minnesota by 1.
Really?
Tough game. It's a tough one.
I'll take Chicago.
Bears defense really banged up. I will take the Bears to win as well. I think they're a much better team than Minnesota, so I'm going to go with them over the Vikings, even though it's on the road.
I'm going to take Minnesota just for the hell of it. I have no idea.
Three losses for me.
Sunday at 1, Miami at the New Jersey Jets.
See, I'm not even trying to catch up anymore. I just want a good record for the week. Miami at the Jets. Jets by 1.5.
Jets stink. I'll take the Dolphins.
You don't get that kind of analysis just anywhere. I'm going to take the Jets. I have nothing to base it on other than my crap team theory.
Don't get that kind of analysis just anywhere.
I agree with Andy. I think the Jets do stink, but every once in a while, Geno Smith plays a clean game and they find a way to win. He hasn't played a clean game in a couple of games.
Right.
Maybe he's due.
Yeah, I mean, if the pattern holds true, the Jets will win this game, but I don't think...
Well, the pattern was broken.
I think
the bottom has fallen out here, and I think Miami wins the game. Arizona at Philadelphia.
I hope you're right.
Arizona at Philadelphia.
Philadelphia by 3.5.
That's interesting. I am going to take the Cardinals on the... No. I'm going to take the Eagles.
Especially if the weather's cold.
That's just what actually changed my mind. I think the Cardinals... In a normal early season game, dry, no wind, whatever, would have been fine. But I'm not loving Carson Palmer in a potential East Coast weather game. Eagles.
I'm going to take the Cardinals. I think their defense has played very well. I think they're playing a little bit better. And I don't think the weather will bother Palmer that much because he's used to it. He's played a lot of games in bad
weather. This is an interesting one. Arizona's playing well, but since Foles has been in there, and pretty much Chip Kelly has said he's our quarterback going
for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no more. Forget about Mike Vick.
The interesting thing for them will be if they go for one in the draft.
Right.
Because there's a lot of the kind of guys that you would think Chip Kelly would like.
So I'm torn on this one.
Torn like a used game ticket.
I kind of want Arizona to win for the same reason that I want Baltimore to lose, because I want them to be in it. So in week 16, when they're playing the Seahawks, maybe they'll flex them in. So I'll go with Arizona. But I don't know about this game. Atlanta.
He's going to start screwing himself with all that overthinking.
I'm losing to this guy. Badly.
Atlanta at Buffalo, Sunday, 4:05.
In? Buffalo. Oh, Toronto.
Toronto.
Buffalo by 3.5.
This is a show for the Bills to be the John Bon Jovi's north of the border.
Living on a buffalo wing and a prayer.
It's not as funny the second time. You caught me off guard and I laughed out loud.
Well, the people here didn't hear it.
Well, now you're ruining it for the TV. Let them watch TV and see it organically.
Did you hear the one?
What was the spread?
We've got to hurry.
We can until Paul gives me the spread.
Buffalo by 3.5. I've given you the spread.
Over who?
Atlanta.
Oh, the Atlanta Falcons, the only team in the NFL with the, what's that word? Ignominy? What's that word?
Ignominious?
No, the ignominious distinction of being the only team eliminated so far?
Yeah, that. They're out of the playoffs. Super Bowl contender out of the playoffs first. I am still, I'm going to take the Super Bowl contender. I'm taking the Falcons.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know who that was.
It's a dome game. I'm taking the Falcons. I don't know what that means, but
I have no idea either.
It's not a dome game. It's Buffalo, in Buffalo.
In Toronto. Keep up.
Oh, it's in Toronto.
We just said that. We just joked about on a Bills in a wing and a prayer.
I don't think Buffalo has won any of their games in Toronto yet.
Well, that streak continues.
So I'm going to take them to snap that streak.
Oh, they're due.
Because the Falcons are just
I'm with Paul, Buffalo. St. Louis at San Francisco.
St. Louis at San Francisco.
San Francisco by 9.
Oof. Yeah, I will take San Francisco to win. I am going to take the Rams to cover. I'll take those points. Big play by Quinny.
I will do the same thing only because I think the Niners offense stinks.
And
I don't want to lay 9
St. Louis
points.
Plays well against them, so I'll do the same thing as well.
And your defensive player of the year candidate, Robert Quinn.
Big game, Sunday 4:25, Denver at Kansas City.
Big game.
Denver by 4.
What do we got for the medical update on the Ali?
I believe they're both out.
They're both out?
I believe they're both out.
I will take the Denver Broncos to bounce back.
I'm 99% sure Houston is out. I think Ali's going to be out.
Houston is out. He dislocated his elbow or something.
Yeah.
If they're both out, I think that's huge. There's somebody at the door. Kevin.
Kevin.
I am going to take the what was the spread? I'll take 4. The Broncos to win and cover. Get back on the winning track there. Sweep the Chiefs.
I will take Denver as well. Freddie, who are you rooting for in this one?
Kansas City.
You're rooting for Kansas City?
Yeah.
I think that's the right answer.
Yeah. But I'm going to pick Denver to win. Cincinnati at San Diego, Sunday 4:25.
San Diego by 1.
San Diego coming off a huge win. Huge win.
Yeah. I am going to take San Diego to win at home, just at home.
Yeah.
Two middling teams.
This is a
at
big
home.
Test for Cincinnati. If you're going to win a playoff game, you got to win this game.
They're not going to win a playoff game. They never win a playoff game. They haven't lived up to the hype this year. They suck.
I will take the Bengals.
See, they suck. That's the guy who loses.
I'm with Paul. I'm going to take the Bengals as well.
The guy who's winning took.
I haven't seen the consistency from San Diego to win this game.
So he picks Cincinnati on the road. He's looking for consistency.
They've been more consistent than San Diego.
They consistently suck is what they
they're
do.
In first
they're 7-4.
Time they're, yeah, and every
San
time
Diego's
they're supposed
5-6.
To win a game, they lose.
Okay.
Four like times. What?
They're supposed to win this game, according to Fred.
Well, it is a one. I mean, they are underdogs.
You're going to lose. You want to bet?
All right.
No, I don't.
I mean, it's a toss-up game.
Sunday, 8:30, Giants at Washington.
Washington is underdogs here. Giants on the road, favored by 1.
Yeah, I guess I'll take the Giants. I just can't take RG3 and Shanahan. That seems like it's going down a bad road. Awful.
RG3, I mean, Shanahan out?
I think there's a chance.
I think you should go.
There's a chance.
But it is one of those things that I hate in sports when
player stays,
the player wins in those.
Yeah, but he's such a douche.
Little poop fights.
I think they're both douches.
I agree.
They are.
That's what's clearly coming out. But Shanahan is a well-established traveling douche.
Oh, yeah.
I will take the Giants in this game, but the Giants season ended last week officially.
I'm going to take the Giants as well. Monday night, New Orleans at Seattle. It's a good game, but
it's a very good, very good game. Seattle by 6.
I'm going to take Seattle to win, but I will take those 6 points. I think you got some fight in the Saints, and I think they don't have enough offensively against that defense to win in Seattle. Tough place to play, but it'll be a game.
I hope you're right, because I'd like to see a really good game Monday night, but I am going to take Seattle to get up early with that crowd, and New Orleans just isn't the same.
Is Sproles in the game?
I don't know.
Has
he been out?
When he's not
playing.
When
was he out?
He was out, I don't know if it was last week.
Okay.
Thursday
night.
What's that?
He did not play last. They played Thursday night football. He didn't play.
When he's not in their offense.
Think of that. I like those teams coming off those Thursday night games. I'll stick with my pick.
It's a different offense without him. So I'm going to go with Seattle.
Well, without him, it's just Jimmy Graham. Yeah. It's just Graham.
And he's hurt, you know. I'm going to go with Seattle. Okay, so now we go back to Sunday at 1. New England at Houston, Reliance Stadium.
Patriots by 7.5.
7.5.
I have some fears, but as I said, I think they're like 15% fears that this is a trap game. No.
Obviously, the people in Vegas have the same fears, by the way. This is a smaller spread than you would think.
I can't go on my fears. I don't think Bill will let it happen. And Paul's right. You know, maybe if it was the Browns, you'd have a little more fight. You know, I think they are giving up to some degree. They're not really getting it. It's J.J. Watt and a couple guys that are
and
still
Andre
fighting.
Johnson.
Right. And other than that, it's crap.
Right.
So I think the Patriots are going to go get after it. I think they're going to get a lot of points early. I could see them going up and just shutting this down. Go up like, you know, 17-21-0. It's over. Go home.
And if the turnout at Los Diablos is any
Loco Diablo. Diablo
might,
Loco.
It might be more Patriots fans in the crowd than
could be.
Texans fans.
I am going to go 31-11.
31-13. I agree with all the stuff. I don't know. I agree with all the stuff that Andy just said.
Going for two down.
You know, and it is weird, too, because, like, you know, you just talk about J.J. Watt. You do the 3 points thing that we do, and I did. My number one point was just be focused. You're coming off of two emotional primetime games.
Just snap a mousetrap.
You know, be focused.
Click.
Number two, J.J. Watt. Number three, Andre Johnson.
That's true.
Contain Watt, contain Johnson, you win the game easy.
Right.
Watch out.
This is a game I think both ways, Patriots cover and win, and I think it will be determined early.
I do too.
If it's not the last time they won down there,
if it's not determined early, I think you go under the wire like you did in the previous 11 games this year.
Are you worried about the turf?
No.
If that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress, again, happy Thanksgiving to everyone tomorrow.
Happy Thanksgiving
for all our American listeners, and if you're not, well, you know, happy Thursday. pregame social, 10:45.
On
Sunday morning.
Oh, back to 1 o'clock road games.
And then we'll see you next Tuesday.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.